Jay is announcing he's leaving the podcast and is going to become a full-time Zoom DJ. Thank you for your service here, but I can see you need to spread your wings and fly. Hello, Myrtles. Welcome to Sports, the podcast that... Do you not like that?
I do.
Podcast that ends with a question mark but starts with a question. Very big question. I'm Katie Nolan. She's Ashley.
Hi.
He's Jay.
Hello.
And this is today's question.
Hey, this is Nathan from Colorado. I'll keep it short and sweet. What would be your ideal basketball starting five made of Disney princesses? I know they have kind of exactly the same proportions and everything, but you guys can get creative. You're pretty creative people. Thanks, love you, mean it.
First of all, Nathan, love you, mean it. Second of all, very specific, saying that they have the same proportions and everything. Third of all, this question was engineered in a lab for Ashley.
My goodness.
I'm going to let you set the parameters, Ash, because I know you have very specific rules about what qualifies as a Disney princess and what does not.
Well, it's not me. There is an official list of 12 Disney princesses. Good news, I have them all written down, so I'll just fly through those for you guys. In chronological order, the Disney princesses are Snow White, Cinderella, Aurora from Sleeping Beauty, Ariel, Belle, Jasmine, Pocahontas, Mulan, Tiana from The Princess and the Frog, Rapunzel from Tangled, Merida from Brave, and Moana.
Okay. So rather than just pick our own five, which I think will take a million years, we should probably just talk through and come up with our ideal starting five.
I agree with that wholeheartedly.
What were you going to say, Jay?
First of all, hi, Agador.
Is your stomach okay, Jay?
Yeah, I'm good. That's a French bulldog. If you had asked, what's Snow White's name is a really interesting trivia question, because I would not have known Aurora.
Aurora is not Snow White. That's Sleeping Beauty. That's
Sleeping Beauty. That's what I meant.
Pretty disrespectful.
I'm doing fine. How are you guys?
Good. Would have known Aurora, but we're just crazy people.
Definitely knew Aurora.
I think you got to eliminate Aurora while we're talking about her because she just sleeps.
Mm. She does.
I don't think we need that in our starting
five. You do want to have a sleeper on your starting five.
Right, but so. not that.
I think on your bench, Jay.
Pick. Not the sleeper pick we're going for. I don't think she'd bring anything to the locker room. I just think she'd be a snooze fest.
Yeah.
So we'll get rid of her.
I think we could also get rid of Ariel. You know, she's a lot better in the water. And then when she gets on land, she's pretty wobbly on those legs. You're not terribly athletic.
I
know that hurts for you, Katie.
It does hurt me. I'm thinking through trying to find a reason why we wouldn't eliminate her. I mean, she's got gadgets and gizmos aplenty.
Yep.
Yeah.
Who's it's in what's it's galore.
Galore.
Yeah.
If you wanted thingamabobs, she has 20.
Yeah, so she sounds like the stadium vendor.
Okay. Yeah. So gizmos, gadgets. Get the gizmos and gadgets. All right, fine. We will eliminate Ariel, though I love you so. Belle would probably make a great coach. She's always reading. She's very studious. But I don't know that she's going to be great on the court.
Yeah. She's more of a bookworm, you know?
Yeah. She's a nerd. And we love a nerd.
Love a nerd.
How's that for data? Wasn't that the space said that?
Yeah.
Isn't that Fizdale?
Yeah.
But I don't think she's going to be a problem on the court. I think obvious first choices, Mulan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, huge.
She went undercover as a boy and was a soldier and saved all of the country. Correct?
Yes. All of China.
I watched it. All of China, which, you know, famously pretty big. I think that Merida also is known for her athletic prowess, correct? She's an archer?
She's an archer, yeah. I don't know that she's she'll probably make the top five, but I feel like they're stronger contenders than Merida.
Well, why don't you, you can toss out a name.
Okay, I'm going to go with Moana as the next one.
Okay.
I don't know if you guys have had the opportunity to see that film. If you haven't, good news, I've seen it 700 times, so I can speak to it.
I have not seen it.
You haven't seen it?
And I loved it, but this feels like a great opportunity to play Ashley's favorite game.
What's up?
Describe a movie.
No, that only works.
It only works if she hasn't seen it.
No, it also works if I have seen it. Because I'm really just bad at describing them. I saw somebody.
Let's just take a minute and just give us a quick overview of Moana.
All right. Moana lives in Hawaii.
Yeah.
She's the chief's quick daughter.
Quick overview.
She's a chief's daughter. She always wants to go out on the ocean, but her dad doesn't want her to. It's not safe. But there's
opposite of Ariel.
Yeah, exactly. So there's some natural problems happening. I'm so bad at this. And she thinks she has to like save her tribe and like her island by getting, oh god damn it, I'm so bad at this.
Jay got in your head.
My brain goes so many different directions. I am like, oh, I should thread that in and this is important.
You should.
No, it's
just
not.
The treetops.
She's gotta restore the heart of Tefiti. And to do that, she's gotta find a demigod whose name is Maui, who is played by, The Rock. So she's got to take this little tiny stone. That is a great, great shirt that you happen to be wearing. She's got to go find the rock, bring this little stone, and then they got to like go on a bunch of adventures to put it back where it belongs because, Maui stole it from where it was. And so there's been all these problems happening since he stole it. So anyway, so they've got to go get it and put it back so that they can like restore the natural order of things. Here's what you need to know. She's aggressive. She's brave. She's athletic. She climbs this giant, rock wall to get to the realm of monsters and like very clever. It's like tricksy. So she's got the athleticism.
All right.
And she's also got the smarts for it. Go see Moana.
Okay. Good really pitch.
Good.
It wasn't bad. You got interrupted by a cute dog.
Oh, thank God.
Hi.
Yeah, Jay, we can't get into that yet. We're not in friendly banter.
Sorry.
He's Moana. So we have Mulan and Moana are on our team. We need three more.
Yep.
And Merida, right?
Well Ashley's on the fence, even though Ashley mentioned that Moana was brave, and I would argue that's the name important of Merida's film.
Yeah, but archery, I don't know, comes in as much handy.
Well, here's the other thing. You do need a good big three with like a good nickname, and they, you know, Moana, Mulan, and Merida, strong M sounds, feels like they could be
united. You would call our big three strong M sounds?
Yeah, I thought you were going to make like a brave tie-in.
Like, no.
Good.
They're not going to let you up in here. They're going to shut you down.
For that reason, now I don't want to put Merida on our team. Let's talk Princess and the Frog, Ashley. I haven't seen it.
She is a pastry chef in New Orleans. Twist also gets turned into a frog. So she's got a lot of, she's very driven.
She got hops.
But she
got hops.
I don't think the frog version of her is what we'd be getting. It's kind of unclear.
Okay.
I don't.
You can train that.
She's very good chef, so I don't know that she's necessarily bringing the athleticism we need. I feel like probably get rid of some people easier. Like Snow White and Cinderella could probably both.
Well,
go.
Snow White, hear me out.
Yeah.
Team player.
It's
she
true.
Works well with a team. She's a great leader of a team. Problem is, she's bigger. She's better with the smaller folk.
Yeah.
So a basketball team of similarly sized people might not be for her.
Mm-hmm.
She's a lot better around shorter folk. Seven of them, namely, as opposed to four.
What are their names actually?
Sleepy, Sneezy, Grumpy, Dopey. Was there a Mopey?
Nope.
No.
Nopey?
Dopey. Doc.
Nopey. Yeah.
Boozy. And
Bad Sally. And Bougie. Are you?
Who are these two?
Happy.
Happy.
And
Dope.
Bashful.
Bashful. Well, it's not Opie.
Well, neither is Doc, but you still got
him. Yeah, but Doc, you always remember Doc. All right. Well, anyway, those seven. Glad we named them. Let's get rid of Snow White.
Okay.
Then, so Cinderella is interesting because she has a uniquely sized foot, which I think NBA players could relate to. You know, if you could get every, like, the fact that she's just like a seven, which is average, Ashley, for seven's a woman's small, foot size. Seven, seven and a half, eight. Sorry, we can't all be 13s like you.
It is eight.
It's crazy to think that the entire premise of the film is based around the fact that, like, she wasn't off the rack, regular, average-sized foot, and the shoe only fit her. If you've ever been to a DSW, you know that that's not often the case. We mostly fit into the same shoes. But anyway, I digress. I don't know that Cinderella's bringing anything to the table in terms of a starting five.
Yeah.
Well, you know, she does have good work ethic. You know,
yeah,
she had
that's
to be,
true.
She was
that's
constantly
true.
Working.
She can deal with difficult situations.
Yeah, difficult personalities. She knows how to manage those, which is important.
But after a certain hour, she's useless. You know,
that's
if
the
game runs late for playing a West Coast
that's
game.
True.
I feel
but
like we're gonna
everyone does love a Cinderella team in the NBA.
Well,
so,
mostly
college.
NCAA, but yeah. It, you know, sports are. We'll do the sports stuff.
Yeah, I'll just say stuff.
What about Pocahontas?
Pocahontas is great. She's one of my favorites.
Better
certainly.
Outdoors.
That's true.
All of
That's
her friends
true.
Are outdoors. It might be tough to get the otter to come inside to root for her.
Yeah.
And the tortoise.
Mm-hmm. But you know what? She's running a lot. She's got that conditioning for mm-hmm. sure that I think mm-hmm. would help. We haven't seen a ton of her vert, but we have seen her jump off that big, like, rock ledge into the water down that big yeah. waterfall. So we know she's got, you know, some horizontal jumping
right.
ability, climbing trees.
Also,
you know,
she's just an independent woman.
Yeah. She's got, you know, she's probably got good, grip strength, you know, cause she's paddling her canoe around the river bend a lot. She always chooses the rapids.
Just around it.
Yeah. Just around it. She's not choosing the smoothest course. You know what I mean? So like.
Right. Okay. What about Jasmine? Real cute.
Yes. Yeah. Very cute.
I don't think I think that was before Disney movies got woke enough to know they had to write a personality, really, for the princesses.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember much about Jasmine.
All I remember is that she was not a prize to be won.
Ah.
That's true. The live action one gave her a little bit more meat on the bone.
Yeah. What was that meat, if you had to sum it up?
She wanted to rule as Sultan. Like, she was very knowledgeable about ruling stuff.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, then.
So, there was that.
Good.
I don't know that Jasmine's bringing it a ton. I think I would like to make the case for Rapunzel from Tangled.
Let's hear it. Because that hair, to me, is going to just become a problem.
Well, the hair. Have you had the honor to watch
I haven't, but
Tangled?
I should have to ask you to...
I don't have to sum it up, but what you do need to know is that she uses her hair as like
stuff.
A character. Like, she uses it to get places, to grab things.
So it's almost like a twofer.
Yeah, it really, if you bring that hair into the mix, you've got
she could dunk
a
with
huge
it.
Hair could be dunking.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It also explains why it's tangled.
Yeah. I mean, you could wrap people up on defense. Like,
well, it feels nice. Like it'd probably be a foul flagrant.
No, I think we'd have to figure it out, you know?
Yeah.
But I feel pretty strongly about
all right,
Rapunzel.
Let's put Rapunzel in. So we got Mulan, Rapunzel, Moana for sure. We need two more. I think based on the discussion, we go Pocahontas and Merida.
I feel good about that.
I'm in.
Okay. So our starting five, Nathan, is Pocahontas, Mulan, Rapunzel, Merida, and Moana. What a great, we did it.
We did.
Sorry to Ariel. Please don't be mad.
She'll get over it.
She wants to be part of this world.
Yeah, but not that world. She just wants to be where Eric is.
Not
what
she
cares about.
If she could dunk out of these
part
waters.
Of this league.
All right. That's the question for the... There it is. If you want to...
Leave up a voicemail.
I don't know. It's 860-506-5571. Hi.
Hi.
How's
How
everybody doing? How is quarantine week 75?
It's long. It's been a long time.
It's crazy that today is the first day of the week.
Oh.
What?
Yeah, I guess.
Oh, it's the first day of the week.
It's crazy that today is the first day of the week because yesterday was a holiday.
Yeah. It is crazy. I don't acknowledge weeks anymore. I don't subscribe to that. I don't know what the day is. Cool.
It's Tuesday.
Neat.
That question what just made me is. Really happy. I had so much fun talking about that.
Oh, I'm glad.
And it's nice to see your guys' faces. Your faces are cute.
Yay. Your faces are cute. Jay, what's the update? Where are you at?
Oh, yeah.
I'm in Massachusetts.
Oh, what a state.
I'm here amongst the Patriots fans.
Where are you?
I'm in Nantucket.
Okay, that's you're amongst the vacationing folk. Your internet looks better.
My internet is so good here.
Oh, good. Oh,
and I have my own little office space that I can sit in.
It looks
in,
like a porch.
Nice. No, this is a room.
Oh.
It's a room.
Give her a tour. There.
Yeah, spin it around.
I don't want to
do a little spin.
There's some stuff.
Oh, Jay.
And then here's a couch.
Cool.
And over here on this side, there's some nautically themed situations.
I felt like there was a whale over the closet, maybe.
There's a whale.
Yeah.
There's actually two whales.
I mean, there has to be.
Two whales? Wow.
Yeah. So,
the life of luxury.
Is that not the room you sleep in?
No, this is a
different. God, imagine having rooms, Ashley.
No, I can't.
This is actually a room above the garage that they converted.
Imagine having a garage, Ashley.
He had his hair. But I came up here yesterday to stay with two of my other very good friends, Jamie and Zeke, who are the parents of Agador, who you just saw.
Yeah.
And a very adorable one-year-old baby named Poppy, who I'm hanging with a lot. And it's very different than when you're living with your 30-year-old friends in a house.
Mm-hmm. Jay's going to learn that baby quarantine life. Man.
It's 6:30 today.
Ooh.
A.M.
Yeah.
That's...
What, are you doing the baby duties? Are you like...
No, okay. It's just once a child is awake in a home...
Everyone's awake in
that home. Does sound rather spacious. I buy that argument in Ashley's home. your home sounds like you could be in the other quarters and not hear the baby.
If I was in here, I would probably be okay.
Okay.
But there's no bed in here, just that couch.
Right. How many weeks till Jay's sleeping on that couch? I'm going to give it like a
weeks?
Day.
Yeah.
Yeah, a couple days probably.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's good. Congratulations. You seem happy and, of course, still tan.
Yep.
So that's cool.
That's probably
Jay's
not going to change, huh?
Jay's just taking a beach house tour of America.
Yeah. Must be nice.
I am stuck in an apartment.
Yeah, you got a lot going on this week, huh?
Yeah, the ESPNW Summit last year, they started doing a New York version because it happens every year in L.A. or the West Coast. And so this year we're doing it from New York, but it's all – obviously like teleconference or whatever. And, they're like running it through Bristol technical stuff. And so it's like taking a lot of time to get it set up and has also made me feel incredibly awful about the amount of decoration of my house that I've done. Cause they're like, just set up in front of a bookcase. I'm like, not everybody has just like an entire wall of their house as a bookcase.
Yeah.
I certainly don't. So like I have pictures, but then those are like reflected in they show the lights. So you can't use those. So I had to get a thing set up and I like moved a bunch of stuff around to get this section of the room set up. And they were like, are you going to set that part up? And I'm like, I sure will. So I'm going to try to make do. But if you guys want to sign up, I don't know if they're still doing signups, but it's free.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people have signed up. So I'm doing a panel with Mina Kimes and Sarah Spain. And not really sure what we're going to talk about, but, you know, with those two, we'll make it work. And it'll be fun. In general, it's a pretty cool event, and I would recommend everybody do it. I mean, what else are you doing? You get to hang out with us and see what I pull together in my apartment. Oh, can I show you what I did yesterday?
Of course.
Yeah. Okay.
Is that my kid that's screaming? Can you hear that?
Yeah. Can you hear the, like... lawnmower?
Yep.
It's been silent the entire day, and then as soon as we started recording, it's just like, boop!
What?
Oh, this lawnmower that's apparently outside my window now.
Whoa!
Oh, Empire State Building.
That's really cool!
With the little cabs on the bottom.
That's really amazing. Cool!
Isn't that neat?
What is it? Is it like a 3D puzzle?
It's Legos.
Oh my
gosh. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Super dope.
Which goes along with, I also did dinosaurs. So I have a T-Rex, but his head fell off. Because I was trying to put him up on a shelf and it fell, which was a terrible moment. And a pterodactyl, one of the flying ones, and a brontosaurus. But I don't remember where I put that one. Oh, I can grab it. It's right there.
Mm. I mean, not to be a stickler, but I'm pretty sure they're brachiosaurus, not brontosaurus anymore. But we don't have to tell her that.
Oh,
whoa!
Man. That looks awesome.
Right? It's pretty sweet. So I've been building Legos. They're pretty cool. It, like, moves and stuff. Can, like, move its tail. Oh, I broke it. But, you know, it does move if you're paying attention to it and doing it properly. But I've been building some Legos. I got a Statue of Liberty I got to build next. Cool. I feel like I've said this before in various ways in this podcast, but it's very calming for my brain to be given instructions and told to follow them. So that's been helping me. Also, I just seem like a child now because I have a house full of Legos.
But no, you don't. No, I mean, well, yeah, maybe that. But like, I thought you were gonna say like you seem like a child because you like it. And yeah, it's I just was like, gonna say it's really cool.
It's funny because I don't know. Sometimes I'm like, oh, this must be true for everyone. And watching Dan's reaction to this calming me has been fascinating because he's like, that would freak me out. All the pieces look the same. You just dump these bags and you just spend all day looking for pieces. And I'm like, yeah. But then when I find it and it clicks into place, I'm like, I did it. Uh-huh. I love it. Love it. I wish it had more. If their instructions aren't as clear.
You gotta Legos go solder, souder. S-A-U-D-E-R. Great instructions. Hugely recommend for build your own furniture.
Okay.
It's great. Oh, this thing right behind me? That's... Yeah. I built that. That's souder.
Yeah, there's something about like making stuff with my hands that I'm like, I touched stuff and built a thing that I can now show people.
So I read an article by a psychologist about people who are trying to compensate, deal with this quarantine stuff. Mm. And she talked about, flow activities and like people who can find flow. And what that essentially means is like where you focus all of your attention on something and get so absorbed in whatever this project is that you're working on that like you kind of zone out and forget everything else. So like a lot of times if you're like, if it's a work thing, it would be like writing a monologue for you or like Jay, if you're like editing a video, it's like you're zoned in. And they studied a bunch of people who are a couple months ahead of us in China that have gone through it. And like the people who were, dealing the best with the quarantine were people who had these flow activities and like not work related. There'd be like other people are finding this pleasure in either like cooking or like puzzles, or they didn't say Legos, but like that's exactly what it is. Like something that totally absorbs your brain to the point where you're like making progress on a project, but you're not thinking about anything else. Like that's what's helping people. There's a C word that I'm
can't concentration.
Cope. That's what's helping people like cope with this really well. Yeah. And so like working parents or people who are in relationships whose, you know, spouses are doing other things, like your flow is constantly getting disrupted. Mm. And so you can't ever.
Yeah. Myrtle's a big flow disruptor.
Yeah. That's a great point.
Yeah. Well, she'll be like, I see you're doing something. I need to go out. And you're like, you don't. I just took you out. And she does all the things that you're like, oh, she's not lying. She has to go out. And then you go out and you realize she was lying. So that's fun. She's fun. Mm. She's fun like that.
So yeah, I think Legos give you flow. That's
yes.
Nice.
Yeah. And also just like, it's thousands of pieces. I think that one was like upwards of 1200 pieces. So it was like,
That's crazy.
Yeah. It was nice. I also built a Quinjet.
That's cool.
I think, did you put that one on Instagram? I think I saw that one.
I put the box on Instagram. I didn't put the finished product because no picture really made it look all that cool. Because you can't frame it up without capturing some of my messy apartment. I wish cleaning was my flow activity. I wish that gave me flow.
Nah.
But yeah, I think because my ADD, it's hard to get flow. But this has been helpful. And they've been fun. And I actually got Dan to help me with the Empire State Building, which was nice.
That's cool.
He was like, all right, let's do it. I was like, oh my God, okay. I think he hated it, but it was nice of him to try.
Steve just got Legos for Austin and got like a shark and like other sea creatures and like was putting it together. And I've never done Legos. And I was looking at it. I'm like, that seems awesome. It's so awesome. I would like to partake in that.
It was a couple years ago. It was that like a Christmas for my ex-boyfriend. I was like at their family Christmas and they have a small kid, a boy, and he was building something and he was like, can someone help me? And I was like, I'll do it. And I started building them with him and I was like, he got up and was like, I want to go do something else. And I was like, no, let's do this. We're making real progress on this. This is awesome. Yeah. He was like, all right, lady, I want to go do something else. And so that's why when I was trying to, after I finished that big puzzle I did, it was a 1,000-piece puzzle of Fenway Park, which was impossible, but finished. I was like, all right, I'll buy some Legos.
I think I always thought Legos were like the blocks, just like the 2x4 blocks.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize like how intricate and how cool they could be.
Yeah, they make crazy
their movement. Now. It's like the shark can like, gosh, what's that word where it's like
vacillate?
Yeah, like it, thank you, Jay. It can cope with the movement that's required of it. Yeah. But it's like the fins, the jaws open, and like it can like it looks like it's swimming, like it can rotate like not abruptly. It's not like 90-90. It's like very flowy.
Yeah, nice and flowy. I would really recommend if you're going to, I recommend doing Legos, but research the, like look at the specs on them before you buy them. Cause I almost bought a New York City, like cityscape. But then when I looked at it, like the specifications on Amazon, it was like 15 pieces. And I was like, oh, this is just going to be like click that building into place, put that building into, like I want to build it.
Yeah.
So like the big piece ones are, I mean, the other ones might look cooler, but these are a real, you feel like an accomplishment.
That's really cool.
The worst is when you realize halfway through that you used the wrong piece somewhere else and you need to undo. But I haven't run into that problem too far. Cope. So yeah, I did some Legos.
That's awesome.
Ash, any update on anything in your life that isn't mental health update? Cause we'll do that next.
We're making progress on a home.
I don't was that not the first thing I asked you?
I don't want to talk about it too much because there's a lot of moving pieces and I am superstitious. Mm-hmm. And like until we close and I have the keys, things could go wrong, but we're making progress and we have a tentative like move out date and all kinds of stuff. So stay tuned.
And it would be in a couple weeks. Like we have a couple weeks.
Yeah. And like right now closing is scheduled for like a month from now.
You don't have to say it. Okay. So, I don't want to jinx it.
It's scheduled. Who knows if it'll happen? You know what I mean?
I hope not. Yeah. Oh, that was a fun thing I learned. I learned the hard way is that in New Jersey, closing date's not set in stone. Yeah. So I moved out of my apartment. My move-in closing date was the day that Garbage Time launched. And then they were like, we bumped it back 2 weeks. So I was like, ah, what? So we had to move into a hotel and live out of that while I launched my first very own television show. Man. It was very stressful, and my very much ex-boyfriend at the time thought it was so funny that on move-in day, when we did finally get the place, that he would send me a prank that they had smashed my television. So he sent me a picture of a smashed TV in a parking lot at what looked exactly like our storage place and was like, everything's fine, but they smashed the TV. And I was like, everything's not fine. He's like, well, I told them to move everything back into the storage space and we'd get a different moving company. I was like, we need to move right now. You can't do that. They have to move our stuff.
Oh my God. That's not a funny part of the joke at all. He thought it was so funny.
And then when I showed up at our new home that I had paid for, when I got back from work, I immediately took a suitcase and put the stuff he had unpacked into it and put it out into the hallway and was like, find somewhere to stay tonight. Cause it's not here. It was fun.
Seems healthy.
Yeah. We broke up.
We broke up.
I still live here though. So anyway, that happened. All right. Mental health update. Jay, how we doing? You seem happier.
I'm good. I'm riding high off of, this weekend's activities and.
Yeah. Should we just talk about that now?
Because I want to talk about it, but I don't want to talk about it in friendly banter. It's like a whole thing.
Sorry.
We're going to talk about DJ Magic the Gathering the Gathering.
I feel good. I went home. I was at home for 4 nights and it was really nice to see my things and like visit with my shirts and pants that I don't wear anymore. I walked around in Brooklyn on Sunday and like
with a mask.
And was really pleasantly surprised to see that many people were like, I would say like 95% of people were also wearing masks. and like being socially distant, like conscious, and it was a beautiful day outside. And that was really nice. But I had already planned to come up here, yesterday on Monday. So
how'd you get there?
I was like kind of, we drove. Two of my friends who I was with in Virginia were driving up here. One of them also has a home here. And so they were coming to live there for the summer. And I had talked to my friend.
They're just going to summer in Nantucket.
I mean, my God, well, you've got friends with houses.
Yes. That's what everyone who I have talked to is like, how did you manage to have all these friends with all these houses? And it's totally, like, honestly, totally random.
Mm, it's not random. But like, you got to apply to be Jay's friend and you have to list all your vacation homes and.
No, it's net worth. Anyhow, they were coming up and they were, and I had talked to Jamie about, you know, she was like, you should definitely come and stay at the house. We have lots of room, et cetera. And so I rode up with them. We drove a car onto a ferry. We never left the car. So like, we were completely separated from all people the whole time. We were in the hull of this giant ship for 2 hours in this car, which was,
that's weird.
A really funny game I had never played before. And Julie, who's like the most like meek, quiet person, when she was suggesting the game, she's like, okay, it's called the masturbation game. And I was like, I'm sorry, what now? Mm-hmm. And she's like, okay, but it's not bad. It's, you have to say like, all right, so it's like drinking water while masturbating, and the answer, and then everybody else in the car has to try to think of it, and the answer is hydration masturbation. And so you're just trying to think of a word that ends in ation and rhymes with masturbation is the game.
That's inappropriate.
We started playing it. I was like a little suspect at first, and it actually was really fun, and we did it for like 95 minutes. So.
Oh, wow. Wow. You played that game the whole ride.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's really a long-duration masturbation.
Wow, Ashley, you win. You win the game.
So good.
And the game is over now.
So we got here last night and got up at 6 this morning. I'm riding high on my fifth coffee or so.
Okay.
And I'm going to crash later, but I feel good. I'm feeling upbeat this week.
All right, Ashley, mental health update?
I'm okay. I feel like we've gotten some good news recently, so that's good. Hmm. I'm gonna go meet my niece this weekend. Cause my sister will be, you know, she's 2 weeks removed from the hospital today, so she's not worried about contaminating me. So I'm really excited to go see her. This whole little baby. It does kind of feel a little bit like time is an endless
loop
circle that just slogs and there's nothing to look forward to. Like I realized, my air quotes vacation to Hawaii has come and gone. Like we were supposed to go.
My calendar the other day said, vacation question mark? Because I remember you saying, you always say you're going to take vacation and you never do. So put in your calendar right now that this is the week you should, and it was like, I think it was this week or last week or something. And I was like,
yeah,
huh. Well, there goes that.
Yeah. And that's, you know, I would say I haven't had too many low lows over the course of the last week. Just a general slug, but like, you know, the weather's nice.
Yeah. The weather has been really nice.
So there's that.
That is true.
Yeah.
This was a bad weekend. I, Friday or Saturday, I don't remember, probably Saturday, I just couldn't get out of bed. So I didn't. And it wasn't really brought on by anything. There wasn't like a thing that happened. There wasn't bad news. It was just like, I woke up, I think it was rainy, which helped me just my body be like, no. And like, Dan and I do a thing where we'll alternate who like wakes up in the morning with the dog and that person will come out, like walk the dog and feed her. And then I'll come out usually cause he does mornings and then I'll come out with the dog and then he'll go back to sleep. Or if I come out, he'll come out and then I'll go shower. Crazy. I know. But that day, like he woke up with the dog and then I just didn't get out of bed. And so I stayed in bed for all Saturday and, like, watched Law & Order SVU because it was, like, a marathon, but I didn't really watch it. I just kind of laid there and, like, didn't have my phone. I turned my phones off, and it just was, like, I just, like, felt it, you know? Like, I just let myself feel it and went to a bunch of bad places in my head. And then Sunday, was like half in bed, half on the couch. And today is what, Tuesday? So I'm like, I'm out of it now. I got out of it yesterday and like answered all the texts I hadn't answered over the weekend because I felt bad because Ashley said something really funny that I was like, would have made me laugh, but I just wasn't in the mood. So I'm coming out the other side of it, but it was like, I don't know, it wasn't really brought on by anything. So I don't know if there's anybody out there listening to this that's like, everything's kind of okay right now. Why do I just feel like, you know, being absolutely miserable and crying all day? It's like, just, I don't know. I feel it too. I don't know the answer. It's, I'm not going to say it's good, but it's, you're not alone. So don't feel, cause I know one of the things I felt when I was in bed was like, everybody's going through something right now. Why am I doing this? Like, why can't I just suck it up and get out of bed? But I couldn't. And so that is what it was. So
you don't have to feel, you don't have to feel badly about that.
It's tough cause you feel bad about everything. Like my whole, my, if it was physical, like my whole body hurt.
Yeah.
And like, I haven't been working out. Shocking, I never do, but like there was no reason for me to be sore, but like my whole body was just sore and I felt everything was my fault and everything was bad. And like I just went to a really bad place. So then instead of like reading stuff and trying to go on with my life and getting bogged down by it, I was just like, okay, I'm just going to let this weekend, I'm going to let depression have the weekend. And then I'm going to go back to my life. Like I'm going to give it more time than it deserves. Instead of trying to push it down and it keeps bubbling up. So I'm just going to give it the weekend until I get sick of being sad and then I'll climb out. So, I have a busy week this week. So that'll keep me not, you know, able to slide back into it. But I really do think like spending the weekend just upset and sad, and like lonely, which it isn't a, like a mark on anybody I'm staying with. Like it wasn't anybody's fault. I just felt like, isolated, which obviously we are, but it was just really heavy this weekend, which leads me to, I missed your DJ night and I was so bummed because I really wanted to see it and be there and support you. And so Jay, as a friend, I'm sorry that I wasn't there.
That's okay.
But I can't wait to hear all about it.
Yeah.
Which we're going to talk about now. Today on the podcast.
Like a good time.
Well, you know, first we have to let everybody know what's coming because the podcast hasn't started yet. So today on the podcast, we're going to catch up on random stuff. I got a book report I got to deliver. Jay is going to tell us about his DJ party. We got challenge updates, right? Other stuff we got to get to. And then also just an update on where every sport is on coming back. I know the NHL is like, as we speak, making some sort of announcement. So hopefully Fact Finder Jay can figure out what was said and we can update you on that. But I know
that is my job here.
Sometimes I get these random updates and I'm like, I wish somebody would just run through every sport and where we're at. So we're going to do that and try to give you that. If that doesn't interest you, that's all right. But it's, you know, we do have to say we're kind of sportsy.
Sports
so
stuff.
We do have to say sports stuff every now and then. So we're going to do that. But, first, today's podcast is brought to you by State Farm and they are asking us who's the best of the best. It's an age old debate. Who is the real deal? When it comes to home and auto insurance, there's obviously only one real deal, guys.
State Farm.
That's right. It's State Farm. But if you had to pick one other entity who is the unquestionable goat in their field, who would you pick?
Unquestionable goat, I would give to Serena. I think she has dominated tennis since she went pro, and it's been like 20 years of her just crushing it. And I think the amount that she has broadened the appeal of the sport is also like such an intangible thing. That's like, not only is she incredibly good, she also has expanded like the interest in tennis. And it's just like, you can't top that. So Serena's my pick.
Jay?
I mean, mine's basic, but I think Leo Messi is by and large the most incredible soccer player to ever walk the earth.
Really?
And like, whenever I see, and La Liga is coming back, so I've kind of gotten excited about Spanish football, spoiler alert, sorry. But watching, like, just whenever I see a highlight of him, I'm just like, how he's like 5'8" and, you know, sort of a slight man and just does these things on the soccer field that is incredible. There's no... I don't think there's ever been a better player.
I don't know. Pele?
Pele was very close second, but.
I want to say Simone Biles because of all the insane, like how they've had to change scoring and stuff because of how great she is. But also I think that's tough with gymnastics. It's such an evolving sport that like the GOAT of like Nadia Comaneci was like the first person to get a 10 and was like incredible then. And like, I think it's tough to compare. It's almost, I don't know. So I would probably say, I mean, Wayne Gretzky, obvious, but if you look at his stats, like even like compared to person, like people that are in second and third of any category, he's like exponentially he's just insane. Yeah. So yeah, I would probably say
that's Wayne Gretzky.
It does seem like a very obvious answer to say he's the GOAT, but
for some reason my brain didn't go to Gretzky. I was like surprised. I'm like, ooh, good one, Katie.
He's goaty as hell. So I would say Wayne Gretzky. Whatever your opinion may be, there's one thing everyone can agree on. There's nothing realer than a teammate that you can rely on. So when you want the real deal, like a good neighbor, Ashley.
State Farm is there.
I was going to say, where's State Farm at? They're there. They're right there.
No, we didn't practice that in advance.
No, I also paused too long. I didn't think about it. Where's State Farm at?
It's perfect execution.
Nailed it. We're the goats of that ad read, for sure. Okay,
Oh,
let's do some updates. So first off, it's time for your Magic the Gathering update. Doodly-doo.
Hi.
Hello. Jay.
We threw a party on Saturday and
Threw a party.
You single-handedly did
all of that.
I threw a party on Saturday and it was amazing.
So to recap, your DJ names were.
We're just jumping right in, huh?
Mm-hmm.
DJ Magic the Gathering, DJ Swagasaurus Rex.
Hate it.
$2 signs.
Not three.
Please make sure.
I wanted it to be to like Swagasaurus, WRECKS.
Oh, that's good. I mean, maybe in the evolution. And then Power Surgeons was the name of our DJ group.
Okay. I didn't understand that one.
Powers, like a play on Power
Surgeons. But I think
the way
you wrote it was something like one half of Power, and I was like, what? But I get it. It was a group.
Yeah, it was Colin like and Daft me. Punk. So Colin, yes, just like Daft Punk, equally as popular.
Right.
Anyhow, we raised more than $4,000. I haven't done the final cumulative total, but like once we started going, like people started telling their friends and like telling their friends to make sure that they donated before they came into the chat,
which was super
cool. But by and large, like I had the best time. Everybody who was there was so much fun. Apparently the chat in the Zoom. The way it had to work was, I had to mute everybody else because I was screen sharing a Twitch page of me DJing.
Okay.
So like basically I was streaming my DJ set to Twitch and then I would stream in the Zoom chat that Twitch channel. So everybody else was muted so that the only music that was coming through, the only sound that was coming through was the Twitch channel.
Okay.
So that made the like text chat super poppin', apparently. I didn't see a word of it.
Oh, you didn't? I was in there.
Because I was doing like seven different things and like trying to DJ and then like also trying to like get people in if they didn't have the links, et cetera, et cetera. And so everybody who I've spoken to since has been like, oh my God, the text chat was the most fun. Like we were having such a great time. Podcast people were catching up with other podcast people. My friends who hadn't seen each other in like 10 years were catching up with old friends.
So, but the video people were seeing, was it like, was it everyone was just seeing you in theater mode?
No,
or was it cycling through other people's videos?
No. So basically it was both. So you had like on the left, you had me. And then on the right, you had gallery view of like everybody else who wanted to show their video. And at some point, I was told that the maximum number that we had was 130 people.
Damn!
And like, you know, you could click through and see, and not everybody was showing their video, but like, there was like two or three screens of videos that you could like click through and different people had like light shows. There's a couple people who I have to just quickly shout out. First and foremost, Stay Puffed.
Stay Puffed. Who was that?
Who's Stay Puffed?
Somebody came wearing the Stay Puffed Ghostbusters costume.
And danced the whole time.
For 6 hours.
6 hours you did this?
So yeah, I think we need to go back a little bit before you start shouting people out. Let me share my experience with you.
Oh gosh, yes.
So I was playing a card game on my Kindle and didn't realize it was 9:30 or whatever because I was like trying to stay up late so I could join. And so I was a little late. I was like, I don't know, 5 or 10 minutes late. And I thought there were going to be two people in there, and Jay was going to be like mad at me for not being there on time. And I join, and there's 85 people. Jay's got like a disco ball light show, holding a glass of whiskey, like dancing, rocking out. And I was just, and I'm looking at this gallery view of just like people dancing. There are some people that are like, have like Zoom backgrounds of like Jay with the frosted tips. Like there was so much going on. I was like, holy crap, what's happening?
Also, everybody listening, can we all admit it really wasn't that bad? The picture of Jay with frosted tips really wasn't that bad.
No, I kind of gaslighted you guys a little bit to get you to donate all the money.
And it worked. It wasn't that bad. Anyway, sorry, go ahead.
So I get in the chat like fully expecting to start roasting Jay, being like, oh, didn't think we'd have to watch Jay dance. Like, oh, this music is not for me. Like,
Jay
totally
dancing
expecting
is a
to make
treat.
Fun of him. Everyone is like, this is so fucking great. Jay is having the time of his life. This is so much fun. What a great idea. I'm telling all my friends. Like, everybody was so into it. Like, so into it. There was so much positivity in that chat. People were saying, like, at least from the pod side, that it was like the subreddit, like, come to life. It's like, Aww. Here's a ton of people we don't know, but now we're like connecting visually. And you're like, oh, I've seen you post. I'm like, blah, blah, blah. And who's this marshmallow guy? And like, people were having a blast. They were having a blast.
Were you, and can so, I ask a dumb question? You know how like DJs now are like, there's like people who DJ at bars, but then there's like DJs who make songs and mix them together. Like, you weren't doing that crazy stuff, were you?
No, I mean, so I used to write music with Colin when we were doing that band, Power Surgeons. But I was just—I mean, I was like mixing stuff together.
Yeah,
but I wasn't.
But
like
you weren't like
doing
going
like
crazy
live
and
remixes.
Okay, I was like stressed out for you, thinking about how much production work would have to go into like mix, like making songs.
I mean, it was a lot of no. I wasn't
obviously
making
still
stuff.
A ton of work
playing stuff, but
all those BPMs. You got to study the BPMs.
All those BPMs.
And
all
crazy.
Those BPMs. Yeah, it was.
What jam got the biggest pop?
Funnily enough, Carly Rae Jepsen. I have a, I found a like disco remix of Call Me Baby.
Is that why that song was in my head? Was that in the 9:30 to 10:30 hour that you played that?
It might have been a little bit after that, but.
Proud of you for making it till 10:30, Ash.
I wasn't planning on it.
Good for
you. I was going to plan in for like 15 minutes and then go to sleep. No, I had my video closed.
Off. Oh.
Yeah.
I remember, but I did call Ashley out. Yeah. There was a moment where I like could get to see through the participants.
That's
and I like looked over and I was like, I see you
like,
in the chat, Ashley B.
He was also like, it was, I don't know. It was like you're dancing. You're the sole form of entertainment for people. You're like playing music. You're drinking. You're having a great time. You're like working in these like call to actions and like little side things, like a proper like DJ who gets on the mic every once in a while. You know, he's like, oh yeah, Jake, I like your pose. Like, oh, like totally like in his element. It was unbelievable. I was
when
like, holy crap.
We were in Toronto for something and Jay, we went to a bar. It was like me, Andrea, I want to say PG was there, but maybe not.
Yeah, PG was there.
And Jay, was dancing and just like having the time of his life. And it was so joyful.
Yeah,
Jay's dancing is so funny, but so like, he doesn't care. He's just like, yeah, this is how I dance. And you're like, well, that's not right, but who's to say? I think you should go for it.
I was having a ball. Everybody who was so much fun, and I got to see all of these old friends and all of these new friends from the podcast.
And then your grandma came.
And then my grandma came. So
like your brother and sister were in there. Like it was
my brother and sister-in-law were in there. My mom was in there until like 1 o'clock in the morning.
Oh my God.
So that's the other thing. So I wake up the next morning and I don't know if I saw on Twitter or like wherever somebody was like, wow. Okay. So it's 1:30 in the morning and Jay's on his fourth outfit change and like still
you
going
changed
hard.
Outfits.
I was like, what?
I did
like,
four outfit changes.
I missed so much of it because I was like, okay, 10:30, 10:45, it's time to go to bed.
So I forgot to record it and I couldn't save the chat, and I didn't save the set.
No!
Once-in-a-lifetime
opportunity.
Yeah, for sure.
But it was, I mean, so I said to these people, like, it was, like, probably, so to go back, started at 9:30. I too was nervous. So I opened up the chat room at like 9:15 and I just put up like a little screenshot image of the stupid Google image I found that just said like party time. And then I like played some music in the background and then like watched the people sort of file in and like wait to see like if at 9:30 there would be, you know, anybody. And at 9:20 there was like two people and I was like, this is, let's see what happens. And then by 9:32, there was like 45 people in there. Damn. And I was like, okay, cool. Let's do this. So I came out and everybody was like super excited. And then I started playing and we, yeah, like Ashley said, like right around 10:30, 85, 90 people were there. Colin, who I used to DJ with, was in the chat. I figured out a way to do a dual stream on Twitch so he could play music from his house too.
Was he your secret guest or whatever?
Yeah, Colin, yeah.
Actually, you got big
he was like
time.
Promoting like
mesh, so
like,
yeah, because I had my mic, so was I was able to like come in and like talk to people and like call people out. And so Colin played a 45-minute set that was amazing.
I mean,
then I
guys.
Came back, and when I came back, I was like, "Hey guys, like I'm gonna play until you guys leave. So like, let's
oh boy,
if you want to hang out, keep hanging out." And ended up hanging out until 3:30 in the morning.
Holy cow!
There were at 3:30 in the morning, there were still 35 or 40 people
oh
in the chat
God.
And in the Zoom. And
time
I was
zones
like,
are crazy.
Guys, I'm done now. I yeah. love you. I'm
oh,
out
good
of
night.
Music.
That's nuts.
And I went to bed and I just had, gosh, it was the best. And then so many people came out of the woodwork the next day and were texting me and were just like, that either that was so much fun or like, I saw all your Instagrams. I can't believe I missed it. Please, please, please do it again.
Oh, so is this a big announcement? You can do it again?
Well, here's the thing. Two things. The first thing is it made me feel so good that so many people felt so good about coming to this and connecting. And there was some people who wrote some really, really nice emails to me after the fact to that Gmail address that I gave to everyone that were really touching. And then also some people on the Reddit were really nice about it. And then some other friends that like I just hadn't seen in 5 or 6 or 7 years who like came to this because they saw it on my Instagram, like people who I haven't connected to, and that feeling of like, we're all so isolated. So the fact that like this was something that could bring people together and like make them feel good was so good that I would love to be able to do that and like have something for people to look forward to.
Jay is announcing he's leaving the podcast and is going to become a full-time Zoom DJ.
Thank you
for your service here, but I can see you need to spread your wings and fly.
I gotta fly. So I think I'm gonna try to do it again next month.
Okay.
And I will keep you posted.
All right. Very exciting. Congratulations.
Really cool, Jay. Yeah.
You did it.
Thank you. Yeah, we did it.
You did it.
No, you did it.
Yeah,
again.
You stop saying
no,
you
we.
No, we,
everybody
okay,
who came.
You and the Marshmallow Man did it.
Oh, people are like, is Katie here? And I was like, she's in the Stay Puft costume.
Yeah, that's me. That's so funny. It's like, that was me the whole time, and I just didn't tell you guys.
I know.
And I made up some very sad
the
story
people,
about where I was.
The amount of my friends who, like, don't know that I am on this podcast and are like, who are all these people? Who is the marshmallow guy? Like, texting me, and I'm just like,
ever heard
people?
Of Katie Nolan? Duh.
They just had, like, ISO cams on their dogs, and it was just like,
oh,
it was
great.
So fun.
That's really
was cool. Great.
I'm bummed you didn't record it, but I—that's you're right. It's a once in a lifetime.
I think it's probably for the best.
Yeah, you
got to
be there. Yeah, you might watch it back and be like, "Oh, this actually wasn't as great as I thought."
I think the music
was—I
think the music was good. But I definitely had some drinks.
No way. It was like when I watched our big Zoom chat, and I was like, "Oh, I was drunk by the fourth person." So I don't remember most of that. All right, good. So that's our update on DJ Magic: The Gathering. Congratulations, Jay. And Stay Puft Marshmallow. what else do we have to update? Should we do a challenge update?
Yes. Doodly do.
Doodly.
Doodly do.
Oh, God. What was a whole week ago? So I don't remember. We had a... Wes and Bananas. You're right.
It was the foam thing.
The foam thing was the first thing, right?
Yeah.
So the challenge was that they had to run into this, like, foam... please don't eat any of these wires. You're not usually out for this. Just talking to my boyfriend. He's trying to eat the wires. He's so weird. They had to run into this, like, box and, through all this foam and find a glass wall in the back. And then through the glass wall in the back, you could see lights flashing and, like, a sequence of colors. There'd be, like, 3 white flashes to let you know it was about to start. And then you had to memorize the colors. And it was a crazy amount. It was probably like, what, 30, five.
Yeah, it was a lot.
Colors. And so, a lot of people tried different strategies to kind of game the system. There was like people who teamed up that were like, I'll remember colors 1 through 5 and you get 5 through or 6 through 10 and yada, yada, yada. Most of those didn't work. The only person who found a way to make it work was Johnny Bananas, who found that if you stood a little bit further back, you could see around the, box filled with foam and catch a bank shot off a filing cabinet and see the flashing colors. And so he didn't have to go into the foam and, he won, right?
No,
he didn't win. Wes won. And then Wes picked him to join the triumvirate.
Tribunal.
And the girl was,
Maddie?
Yeah, Maddie. Who I will say just looks more and more like a vampire every episode. Every episode I'm like, okay, so it's a slow transformation into a full-on vampire. You're becoming a vampire. Maybe it's because they live in a bunker. I don't know. She's becoming a vampire. You heard it here first. So then they picked – they had like a strategy, Wes and Bananas. People in their confessionals keep talking like they don't know that the two of them are working together. But I thought everybody knew that the two of them were in an alliance.
No, I think it's a secret, an air quote secret.
It's pretty obvious that the two of them are in an alliance because they quote unquote hated each other before this season and now they're working together. So pretty clear. So they picked, Jordan to go up against.
It was a double elimination.
Yeah, you're right. You should be doing these because
it's more fun with you doing it. And I just,
this is like you doing movies. I don't remember what happened. So it was a double elimination for the boys. And so it was Fessy, house favorite. We like him over here.
Okay.
Up against, I'm not saying he's my favorite. What I'm saying is Dan likes him. So Fessy, okay. they picked, Jordan to go up against him and it was in the, what's it called?
Pole wrestle.
Yeah, pole wrestling, which is you have, you each put your hands on a pole and you've got to wrestle the pole away from the other person. Now, for those who don't know, Jordan has one hand. So when they picked him to go up against Fessy, who is like an all-American athlete, played in college, it was obviously Jordan's going to go home. After his first one, I think he like looked like he broke his collarbone or dislocated his shoulder or something. God. And he kept going.
Yeah.
At which point I was like, guys, this is an MTV show. This is not they talked about it like, come on, Jordan, you got this. And it's like, let him just say he doesn't got this and not hurt himself further. It was insane to watch a guy with one hand try to, like, compete in something that it was built to not be for him to compete in.
Yeah.
It was wild. Spoiler alert, he didn't win and he got eliminated. Then he was, like, getting worked on in an ambulance and he ran back so that he could support. It was Nelson who, oh, my God. I hate Nelson so much.
So much.
Nelson got outed earlier in the episode, and I texted Ashley, and she's like, I haven't seen it yet. And all I had said was like, I'm so glad I said in the podcast already that Nelson fucking sucks and I hate him, because what he does in this episode makes it, like, everybody would hop on that train now. He got outed for telling basically everybody in the house, if you don't vote for me, I won't vote for you. And, like, they went around the room, and everyone was like, yep, he said it to me too. Yep, he said it to me too. And it was like he told everyone he'd never say their name. And his defense of it, which didn't make any sense, and he barely even stuck to it, was that, like, he plays week by week. So maybe he said that to you last week, but that doesn't go for every week. And it was like, but Nelson, you have to make that clear. You're a fucking moron.
He's so dumb.
Unfortunately, he won. He was up against, who did he take?
Bear.
Bear. Oh, so Bear and Kayla, the love story that never will be. Mm-hmm. It was also weird to watch Kayla switch from, she's still very much cheating on her then boyfriend. They've since broken up. I went deep on their Instagram. Like, she's cheating on Mikey with Bear. And then this episode, she was just like, Bear can't leave. I love him. If he leaves, these are yours. If he leaves, I'll be so sad. And, like, acting like he's her boyfriend. And it was like, he's still the guy. You're cheating on your boy. You should be happy he's leaving so you'll stop cheating on your boyfriend. that would just be too logical. So Nelson and Fessy now have red skulls. And am I missing anything else? Were there any fights in any bar? Oh, yeah, Kyle.
Yeah.
Kyle
and
Nelson
somebody. Came at Kyle.
Nelson is...
Nelson blamed his whole thing on Kyle for some reason.
Kyle called him out first.
Yeah.
It was so dumb. Nelson makes my skin crawl.
Yeah, he's tough to watch.
Even his best friend, Corey, was like, oh, man, Nelson, you're making it real tough here. It's like, yeah, because he sucks.
Yeah. The thing about Jordan sucks. Is, like, Jordan is an ass and is, like, really rude and, like, waves a salami in your face. But, what? Like, he did that earlier this season.
Oh, that's remember right. He's fighting that's, with I was Wes like, and man, I just wanted that to be out of context for you.
But, like, he's really good. He's won he's three challenges. He, like, beat somebody, Josh, I think, in a tug of war, even with one hand. Like,
yeah.
He's really good at this game. Like, Nelson brings actually zero things to the table. Zero things. No things.
No things.
And so you're like, you're so unlikable and you're bad.
I know. And I think, you know what? Ugh. If Jordan went up against Nelson, he would have found a way to win.
Mm.
Nelson sucks that bad.
Yeah. Fessy's really big. Like, Bananas and Wes really screwed Jordan.
Well, and so it kind of speaks to how cutthroat, I mean, Bananas seemed like he felt a little bit bad about it, but when Wes was like, yeah, we're sending in Jordan, and just like, he said to the camera, he's like, I'd feel bad, but the guy's a dick. And it's like, you believe what you believe, but like, man, you have no part of you that's like, I just sent in a guy with one hand in a challenge you cannot win one-handed.
Yeah.
But they did what, you know, they're not here to make friends.
No, they're not.
He had a target on his back and various other.
Yeah, he asked to go in. He wanted to go in, just not for that.
Not for that. Ideally not for that.
Not for that
but
one.
So that's where we're at, and I don't remember if the preview made it look like anything crazy is going to happen, but if it does, I will forget by next week when I give you your challenge update. Doodly do!
Doodly do!
Sorry, Myrtle. I'm just doing a bit. All right. She doesn't understand. I guess pup date, then.
Yeah.
That leads into the pup date. Is that me? Just me?
Just you. You're the one with the pup.
But I just did the challenge update.
Oh, no. We should have spaced that out differently.
She's good. We gave her her second bath. I enlisted the help of Dan this time because I know last week I said I did it alone. I will say at the end of this week's bath, Dan said, I cannot f-ing believe you did that alone last week. And I was like, yeah, it was varying degrees of success. This week, somebody messaged me on Instagram and said, smear peanut butter on the side of the tub and she won't notice that she's in the bath, which I think will work in the future. As this was her second bath, at first, because when she gets really scared, she won't take treats. So when you put her in the tub, she was like, I don't give a shit that that's peanut butter. Then after, like, we took her out, and then we put her back in, then took her out, put her back in. Then when she got locked in on that peanut butter, we, like, looked at each other and we're like, we got a window. We have to shampoo her and then rinse her off. So we, like, got the shampoo on her, scrubbed her up. She was still going on the peanut butter. And then Dan was like, I wish we had a cup so we could, you know, wash the shampoo off. And I was like, feeling ballsy. And I said, just grab that, which was the shower head. And I was like, grab the shower head and turn it on. Let's see what happens. So I like took the handheld shower head and I like put it on her. And at first she was like, what the f*** is this? Right back to the peanut butter. So I was like, okay. So I was, you know, rinsing her off. And then she started to get too distracted by being rinsed off. And like, what is this feeling? Because when it rains hard, she doesn't like going outside. So like, this was a lot for her. But we got her rinsed off. I only have a couple gouges in my skin.
Oh, no.
Because last time I told you I went in just clothes and walked out 40 pounds heavier because I was absolutely drenched. This time I went in like spandex pants and a sports bra. And so the only oversight on my part was that I had a lot of exposed skin that she just took out. But but it was good. She did all right. She's super fluffy now. That'll last for like a day. And she's getting less scared of motorcycles, which is good. The person upstairs vacuums, and she does not like that. Mm. But if I turn the TV on and make it loud enough, she gets distracted. And then today when I was on my mile hike to find a pharmacy that has my prescriptions, which I had to go to three different ones. On my way back, I stopped at the pet store and got her some new toys. So we will be debuting those this afternoon. I'm sure she's very excited. And I guess most recent pup date, she's out of her crate, which means that she pooped and peed.
Yeah.
So shout out to Myrtle.
Shout out to Myrtle.
She did it.
I actually have a pup date.
Let's hear it.
We've had to start giving Indy some new medicine.
Mm-hmm.
And at this point, like, we ran out of pill pockets, like these little treats that you like put the pills in and like pinch them closed. And so they like take them. And this morning I was giving him
his thing, one of his pills, and I dropped it on the floor, and he looked at me, and I was like, do you want to just eat it? And he was like, meh, and he just ate the pill.
Yes.
And so I had the next pill, and I was like, you want this one? And he, like, sniffed it, and then he's like, meh. And
he's just eating it. Oh, I love that so much. Like,
you're the best.
Or he's like, lady, don't lie to me. Just let me take the fucking pill.
All right.
Let me do it. That's so absolutely beautiful.
I'll just eat it. I'm like, yes. So that was a huge development.
That's huge. Yeah. Hell yeah, Indy. I guess on like a positive note, one thing I realized today when I was on my walk, because weirdly when I go out into the world, my brain processes things better. But I realized that like if I didn't have Myrtle, I would have a lot more days like this weekend. Like if I didn't have to get out of bed every day to do a thing and take care of a thing, I think I'd be f***ed. Like I would be not doing well. And so I'm like filled with, I know I've done this before, I'm not going to cry, but like I'm filled with gratefulness today for Myrtle. Is there a word that isn't, that I
can't? Gratitude.
Gratitude, for Myrtle, because like she is a pain in my butt, but like, you know, she has gotten me, I'm waking up at 9:30. So like, whoever thought that would happen? But like she's given me something to live for, you know, when things get real dark. And like, I think they would have gotten darker quicker had I not. If I didn't have her. So that's my pup date.
And she's very lucky to have you as well.
Oh, thanks, Jay.
And I mean, it's true. You're killing it.
You're trying my best. I keep thinking back to every time something goes wrong with her, I keep thinking about how the first week I was like, it's nice to have a transactional relationship where I do a thing and she does a thing. And I'm like, that's over. That doesn't work anymore. Are you kidding me? Now she just looks at me like treat. And I'm like, you didn't do anything. You don't get a fucking treat. But you know, we have a cute little relationship. She does this thing I'm hoping she stops doing because it's bad, but it also, I love it. Where she, when she gets scared, she jumps up into my arms. I'm like, all right, I want you to become accustomed to bikes and, trucks, but I also like just having a little thing be like, I need you. I'm like, okay.
So that there are things that kids do similar to that. And people are very split camps on like how you're supposed to react. Mm. And I think I tend to be part of the like, it's a phase. They're going to grow out of it. Just enjoy it.
Yeah.
That like that like clutching you. It's like,
I see her as like, she's terrified by everything because she doesn't know everything. So she's going to look to me to be like, is this thing scary? So I just have to act like, no, it's not scary. It's okay. And she's responding to it. But I mean, the other day I took her to like this corner because there's a little bit of grass and a bus drove by and she was like, looked at it and looked at me and looked at it and looked at me and then sprinted into my arms. And I was just like, it's okay. It's a bus. And I'm like, I know you don't understand me, but I think this tone of voice is going to really be helpful. Do you want some treats? And she was like, no. And I was like, oh, I'm going to leave them here until you're ready to have them. And then she, you know, she'll eat them and then she'll look at me and I'm like, it's okay. She's just so scared.
She'll get stronger.
I hope so. And I hope she stops those peeing reps when she sees people.
Oh, that's, yeah, that one happened.
That's such a puppy thing.
Yeah.
I know, but my aunt's dog kept doing it and still, I think, just stopped recently. So I'm like, oh, how do I know when it's a problem and when it's just a puppy? It's peeing.
It's too early now.
I'm like, how did you have pee in you? I just got all the pee out of you. Why are you peeing? There's this adorable old man who keeps happening to get into the elevator when we're in it. And so the first time he was like, oh, she's peeing. And I was like, I'm so sorry. He's like, I think it's wonderful. And then the second time I picked her up and he was like, it's my friend. And then she peed on me. So like, it's going through a whole thing. But shout out to that old man because he's the absolute cutest. Some people are weird about her, but she's a friggin' celebrity in this building. Also, speaking of which, I don't know if I said this before. Somebody walking outside of my apartment was like, is that Myrtle? And I stopped and I looked and assuming it'd be Kelly or somebody I know. And then they looked and they were like, oh, I recognized her before. I didn't know you lived in Hoboken. And it was this girl who I ended up talking to for a while who was like, I've seen her on Instagram. It's
Wait, hold on. So you were outside with your dog.
Yes.
And your dog was recognized and you were not.
Well, to be fair, I was in quarantine mode. So shoot, probably two different slides that didn't match.
That's
socks.
So funny.
Sweatpants, hair on top of my head. Like, I was not looking cute. And then, yeah, they were like, is that Myrtle, the famous Myrtle? And, like, Myrtle was interacting with another dog. So then the girl just kind of stood there and was like, can I pet her? And I was like, yeah, in a sec when she's done. And I brought her over and then we like chatted for a while. And the girl's like a dog walker or her parents are have a dog. And like, it was just like, Myrtle, you're famous.
That's really cool.
You gotta chill.
That's really cool. Don't let it go to her head.
I mean, it is, has gone to her head. She has Instagram model energy where she's just like, I get whatever I want or I go somewhere else and somebody else will give it to me. She's just such a hot bitch. I love her so much. I really love her. So that's your pup date.
That's a good one.
And then the last thing, I've done all the talking, so I don't want to give my Goosebumps book report. What if we do it like you guys ask me questions about it and I answer them? I just don't want to talk the whole time to myself. Okay.
Did you read it?
I did.
The whole thing?
And it's in its entirety.
Wow.
Boy, do I wish.
You stayed in bed all day on Saturday because it was so scary. Yeah,
it was. So to answer the are these actually scary question, no. Not even a little.
Well, you have to really put yourself into the body of like an 8-year-old.
If you read it now, you'd be like, this isn't scary. Yeah, if back then. But the question was, are they actually scary? No. They're monotonous and pretty lazily written. I don't want to slander R.L. Stein, but it was tough to get through. It was a real slog of a book.
Ooh.
And it wasn't, and chapters, there was like 30 of them. And the book's, let me find out how many pages it is, because I read it on my Kindle, so, you know, you don't really know.
I can't imagine it's that long.
It's not. Right? It's not. Where do I find out the info about this book?
I'm so hungry.
Me too.
Do you guys ever have hollow days?
Where you just feel like you keep putting food in,
no matter what you
eat.
Yeah, it's you're just... Oh, man. I'm so hungry.
Do you want to go grab a snack?
I don't know. If I go out there, I bet my kid will be all hot and bothered.
Oh. Do you want me to feed you with the sustenance of this novel?
Yes, please.
It's 160 pages. It's bad. So the plot is there's these two sisters. They're twins, Chris and Lindy. Odd names. And they are sisters and they're like competitive about everything. And then one day they're like searching at a house that's being built. And in the dumpster, they find a dummy. And Lindy is like, I'm going to keep it and name it Slappy. And so she gets super into this doll and doing ventriloquism. She like right away starts a business and does kids' birthday parties with her ventriloquist act, which was like, doesn't seem like it. Something that would happen, but parents are paying her $20 to do her ventriloquist act. Chris gets really jealous, and is like, I want to do stuff with the dolls. I want to be a ventriloquist.
I want a dumpster dummy.
Yeah. And then Lindy's like, why you always got to do all the shit I do? And then Chris is like, that's not true. I just think I'd be better than you. And so then, their parents who suck, who are awful parents, are like, fine, you get into dummies too. And they like buy her a dummy. But first Slappy, you know how I told you the dog's named Barky? Mm-hmm. Okay. Yes. Well, Slappy slaps Chris across the face. And I'm like, really, R.L. Stein? We don't have any creativity in names. You named the thing that slaps Slappy and the thing that barks Barky. But, the doll slaps her in the face and like takes on a life of its own. And Lindy swears that it wasn't her doing it. And then they get Chris her own doll and she names him, Mr. Wood again. Yikes. And then she's doing ventriloquism and Lindy, rightfully so, is like, why the fuck you always got to do what I do? This was my thing. And so then Chris starts doing ventriloquism and she's actually pretty bad at it. Nobody thinks she's funny. And she's like, I just got to buy some joke books and then I'll be funny. And then, the doll, like they wake up one night and the doll, like it just keeps doing stuff that seems like it's coming to life. And Chris gets freaked out. Like they wake up one night and they go downstairs and, the entire contents of the fridge are taken out and Mr. Wood is sitting in the middle of all of it, like smiling. And Chris is like, oh my God, he emptied the fridge. And Lindy comes running downstairs and she's like, oh my God, that's crazy. And Chris is like, you didn't do this? She's like, I didn't do it. Cause there were other times where Chris was like, did you do this? And Lindy's like, no. And then Lindy's like, I did it. And so then this time she's like, oh my God, this happened. And Lindy says she didn't do it. And then the parents come downstairs and are like, you guys are so stupid. This is why they're bad parents. They're like, you're always fighting about your dumb dolls. I'm putting your dolls in the closet. Like, obviously one of you's lying, and I don't know which one of you it is, so you're both grounded, and it's so dumb. And then Lindy later admits that, like, she did that too. So it just keeps going back and forth of this, like, the doll's coming to life. No, it's just Lindy. The doll's coming to life. JK, it's Lindy. And, like, I'm making Lindy sound like the bad guy, but Chris is really the bad guy because she was just getting so mad at Lindy for having a thing she liked. And Chris wanted it, and she sucked at it. Then Chris books this big gig where she's going to work at the school thing. There's, like, a big assembly, and they hired, for some reason, her and Mr. Wood to be, like, the MCs of the whole thing, when Lindy has clearly been doing ventriloquism for longer. And so Chris is, their dad is like, oh, I'm not going to go any business trips. I'm going to come watch you at your school thing. The fridge thing happens, and then somehow they still let her do the thing. But anyway, she goes and, oh, well, first the two old people who live next door come over, and they're like, Chris, Lindy, come do your acts for the two old people. And I'm like, you just got mad at them about the you just yelled at them. Hi, Austin! I'll pause because it's too scary for
him. Is that Kiki? He can't hear you.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, bud.
Sorry, Steve's on the phone for work, so.
Did he get another haircut?
Sorry.
Yeah?
I don't do this. Take it off.
You want to be able to hear? I can't.
Take it off.
It's okay.
Stop saying you're sorry.
Take it off.
Come on. You can't take it off.
No, he wants me to unplug it so he can hear them, but that'll mess up the audio. I did that last time and Jay yelled at me. She's blowing you kisses.
Say bye-bye.
Hey, see you.
Bye-bye.
We gotta watch
the bye-bye.
Say peace out, nerds.
All right, Steve. So anyway, back to my Goosebumps book report. I don't know who's a nerd here. So the parents are just like, sure, you can go do your puppet thing, which is like, didn't they just get in trouble for the goddamn puppets? But anyway, so Chris, oh, and then Lindy books like a TV show, and Chris is mad because she's like, I got the auditorium at the school, and now she's gonna go do a TV show. Why does she keep one-upping me? It's like, because you didn't pick your own hobby, Chris, because you did what Lindy does, Chris. God. So anyway, Chris goes and, the old people. So they do their acts for the old people. Lindy crushes it. Then Chris comes down and her dummy just starts calling them old and ugly and just like being really mean and giving them mean insults. And nobody's laughing, which I'm like, well, like some of these slap and you should probably laugh at them. But, the parents are like, why would you do that? You're grounded again. But for some reason tomorrow you're going to go do the thing at the school with the dummy, even though you just proved that you shouldn't be allowed to do that. So she goes out onto the stage to do it, and she's, like, nervous that the doll's going to start insulting people again. And then the woman running the show, who the author points out has multiple chins, which felt like a dig I didn't need. The woman comes out to help her adjust the microphone, and while she's doing that, Mr. Wood starts being like, you're fat. He's like, if we count how many chins you have, will we figure out how old you are? Which is like a really deep cut on a tree joke.
That's funny, actually.
Yeah, it's not. They're not bad. They're pretty mean, though. And the woman's like, make him stop! And it's like, that's not what would happen. And then all of a sudden, Mr. Wood opens his mouth and starts spewing out this green stuff that looks like pea soup but smells really bad, like rotten eggs. And then everybody starts getting sick and they have to like evacuate the auditorium. So then Chris gets grounded, I guess, again. I'm not really sure. And they're like, we're gonna talk about this tomorrow because I'm too mad. And I'm like, well, that doesn't make any sense because at night is when the dummy comes and does shit. So like, why would you be like, I'm so mad at you?
So hold on, time out really quick. The bad dummy is the one they bought, not the one that they found in a dumpster?
Yes.
Huh. Okay.
So, and like at one point they, you know, came back into the, like there's a lot of the same scene where a day happens, they come in and something crazy has happened with the two dummies where like Mr. Wood is trying to choke Mr. Slappy. But then you find out that like Lindy did that. So it's like, it's very unclear of who's at fault. And the parents at no point believe that it's actually the dolls. And Chris thinks it's always the dolls. And Lindy is just a wild card. Sometimes she's messing with Chris. And she's pretty mean about it. Where she's like, you thought that was real? You're so stupid. So the night after the auditorium thing, like Lindy's fast asleep. Chris can't sleep. She's freaked out. She thinks the doll's alive. She sees a shadow leave her room. She follows it. She gets all the way to the staircase. And it's the doll. And she's like, what? And he's like, you're my... Oh, I missed an important part. He had at one point in the pocket of his shirt, she found a piece of yellow paper that said a weird phrase on it in a different language. And she like read it and was like, what the hell is this? And so then she goes, she follows the shadow and he's standing at the top of the stairs. And he basically says a lot of like, you're my slave now. it's weird. And then
it's
they
really creepy.
Wrestle. It's not. It's like comical how non creepy it is. Then they like wrestle each other going down the stairs, and then she finally gets him pinned, and then Lindy comes out and is like, "What are you doing?" And she's like, "Look, he's alive," and he's just like pinned. So Lindy's like, "No, he's not." And then he like gets up, and Lindy sees that, and she's like, "Oh my god, he is alive! What do we do?" And they start wrestling him. And she's like, "Go get mom and dad." And so they go and get mom and dad, and then mom and dad come out, and they're like, "What's going on?" She's like, "The dummy's alive," and he's just laying there lifeless. And she like picks him up and lets go, and nothing happens. He's a dummy. And they're like, "We're sick of you too." I'm like, "This is the fifth time you've said that, so maybe parent them so that they don't keep going back to their stupid dummies." They're like, "You're both in trouble. We're going to bed because that's what we do as parents. We're not going to do anything about the dolls. We'll return them to the store on Monday." And then the next morning. Or no, they take the doll, they shove him in a suitcase, they bury him outside at the construction site where they're building the new house, and they're like, he's done. And the whole time he's like, this isn't gonna work, I have powers. And that's what I just picture his voice as. And, they don't care, so they bury him in the dirt, then they see outside the next day, like, steamrollers, like, oh, maybe they're gonna smush the dirt, that'd be perfect for us. So, the next morning they wake up, they go downstairs, Chris's dad is mad and gives her a mean look, and she's like, what? And then she looks, and there's a, like, covered in dirt Mr. Woods sitting at the table. And they're like, I thought we told you you can't bring these dolls out here anymore. Don't bring them downstairs. And she was like, I didn't! Oh my god! And then they're like, well, we're leaving to go to the store. And Chris was like, please don't leave me alone with the doll. And they're like, you're being crazy. We're going to the store. So they leave her. Lindy comes downstairs, sees Mr. Wood, and is like, whoa, this is crazy. So they decide that they're going to throw... He tries to kill the dog. Tries to kill Barky. They pry Barky out of it. Barky's fine. Barky's fine. So then they're like, we got to throw him underneath a steamroller. So they go outside, and they're about to throw him underneath the steamroller when Barky runs out, because he's like, I have powers. You'll regret this. I guess he, like... makes the dog run in front of the steamroller. And one of the chapters, chapter 78, ends with, like, the steamroller is about to hit Barky. So then the girls push Barky out of the way, and then the guy stops the steamroller, and he's like, you're crazy, did you not see me here? And they're like, sorry, mister. And so then in all of that confusion, Mr. Wood had gotten away, so now he's running away, being like, now I'm free, you can't stop me. And they're like, we have to get him. But, you know, this brilliant dummy didn't realize that a steamroller, there was a second one, and he, like, runs right into it and gets crushed, and there's this, like, green puff of smoke that goes up into the air, and it's, like, really smelly. And the steamroller guy comes out, and he's like, was that a kid? Did I kill a kid? And they're like,
God.
No, it's okay, it's just a doll. And the poor guy just keeps being like, I think that was a kid! I saw him walking! And they're like, no, dummy, it was a dummy. And then, yada yada, they go inside, and it ends, they go into their room, and Slappy is sitting there, and he was like, hello, slaves, did you finally get rid of that other guy? I was wondering when you'd finally, like, do that.
Goosebumps.
Ooh, so Slappy was the
I guess so.
Evil genius the whole time?
The point of that phrase was apparently she read the phrase out loud, and that's the phrase that wakes him up, so then she, like, goes and tries to find it again and reads it out loud. He's like, that's not the phrase that kills me, and it's like, this, it doesn't add up. Where is
doesn't it end with Slappy being like he's there, and then
I'm saying Slappy says, did you finally get, hey, hello slaves, did you get finally get rid of that other guy? Which is like, yeah. Maybe it was Slappy, or maybe the ghost of Mr. Wood has now inhabited the body of I have no fucking clue. It was such a waste of my time. These parents are awful. Do you have any questions? I'd love to answer them.
No, that was pretty thorough.
It was so dumb. All of it. I highlighted things, but now I don't remember how to find your highlights. So.
Until sports come back, like, why don't we just do a book report every week, you know?
I should probably read it and then organize my thoughts so that I don't just rant about it.
Nah.
I don't know. That seems like the move.
That was pretty good content to me.
It was just so bad. And I'm upset.
I remember that last scene being... terrifying.
It was the only part that surprised me. The rest of it was like, oh, she's going to blame it on Lindy. Oh, Lindy's going to say she did it. Oh, it's going to call her a slave. Like, honestly, it wasn't great.
It's kind of crazy that, like, the idea that they're slaves to the dummy.
But at no point did the dummy make them do anything they didn't want to do. So it was like, that's not how slaves work. so it was something else. and I didn't like it. But shout out to those parents for being genuinely the worst parents. At one point, they were like, why do you two have such weird hobbies? Like, oh, encourage your kids and their the things they like. And they're like, oh, they're into dummies now. It sucks. But then they're like, our friends are here. Come do your dummy act. It's like, are you supportive or not? I don't understand. So that is Night of the Little
Dummy. Don't read it.
I will read the second one and get back to you.
There's another one?
Oh, really? So. You're gonna?
I mean,
I think there's like three.
Well, I gotta find out if it was like Slappy or Mr. Wood the whole time.
So you are gonna read the next one.
I'll start it. But man, okay. They're garbage. I might go down a different road. I don't know. I can read Goosebumps books. They're so fun. we had an idea for a segment a week or two ago about random things that are making us mad. I picked it that week because I had some. I don't really have any this week other than Goosebumps books. Did you guys have things that you're mad about you wanted to randomly vent about? This is the concept of this segment being a safe space to just vent about a thing you know is not consequential. You know there's a lot worse stuff going on in the world right now. You know there's much bigger things to be worried about. But for some reason, this thing's pissing you off and you just want to get it off your chest.
Yes.
Ashley, you have the floor.
Thank you. I would like to address the national shortage of puzzles and the resulting price gouging that's going on. It's making me really upset. I have no flow activities. Ugh. I ordered a puzzle in April that says it's not going to be here until like June 22nd.
Oh my goodness.
Which is very annoying. I found puzzle that I thought was really cool. It was like an artistic interpretation of the Hogwarts castle, like the Starry Night painting, which I was like, both of these things up my alley. Awesome.
Perfect.
Went to purchase it. It was like $55.
Excuse me?
$5.
No.
I was like, listen, I really want this puzzle, but I don't want that puzzle that much. How are you charging $55 for a puzzle? So now I have zero flow activities and no puzzles. And I was like, oh, maybe I'll do one of the puzzles I have again. But like, I don't want to, that's not the same.
Do you want me to break apart my Lego dinosaurs and send them to you with the pamphlet and you can just rebuild them yourself?
I don't know.
Maybe we'll do that. I can do that.
This Lego thing, I'm like, maybe I'll start buying Lego sets.
They're expensive, and they're probably being price gouged. But I was at a point, like, I think Empire State Building might have been like $70 to $80 to $90.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I need a cheaper hobby than that.
What about those websites where you can make, like, custom t-shirts? I feel like you can also make custom
puzzles.
Well,
we know that because we got one made for us.
Yeah.
Right. So maybe you could order, like, you could just put your own image on the puzzle.
Just what are you doing?
Order that.
What?
No, like you could put whatever
put
photo you want. Find
Boston.
One on the internet that you like.
Yeah.
I have it right here next to my book.
Can I ask you what you look for when you pick pricing. A puzzle? Because I've gone on to Amazon to try to get a puzzle and I'm like, I can't tell what makes for a good puzzling. You know what I mean? Sometimes you're like, this picture wouldn't be good puzzling because it would just be like, this part's all yellow. So like, how would I know which piece goes where?
I actually kind of like the color, like the variations of color. Like the puzzle I'm waiting on is like a color wheel. So it's like giant cool. sections of it are like, here's just shades of blue that you have to like progress. Which I've gotten into.
I've seen those, the ombre puzzles, and they like go from like blue to turquoise and they like just sort of like slowly change down. Those look really rad.
That looks awesome. I haven't seen that. This one's just like an actual like color wheel. I try to get at least 1,000 pieces because
that's what I do.
Dedication. And yeah, I get things that I like. So I have like a Star Wars puzzle, a Marvel puzzle, a Harry Potter puzzle. Then I started getting, I got into like the world's smallest puzzles. Have you seen any of these? Hold on.
No. Oh my goodness.
Oh, they're little baby tiny pieces.
Yeah.
Oh,
it's teeny tiny.
No.
And they come with little like tweezers. I actually really liked it.
No.
I liked it a lot because two reasons. I have like that that little like tabletop with legs that you can like have in bed. Do you know what I'm like?
Yeah. A bed table.
Tray. Yeah. The TV tray but like for
a bed
your
desk.
Bed. Sure. Yeah, that thing. And like the whole puzzle fits on it. And so, like, I could, like, pick it up and move it. Like, the problem doing puzzles in my small apartment is that I don't, like, I have that one round table. And if I have a puzzle on it, we can't eat there. Or, like, Austin can't play there. And it, like, takes up the whole thing. So this tiny puzzle is, like, portable. I can, like, see everything at once, which is nice. Without having to be like, oh, where's my bag full of, like, yellow pieces that I have to then paw through? I really enjoyed that.
You should look into something called, I think it's called nanoblocks, but they're like kind of like Legos, and they're really, really small pieces. Mm-mm. And you like basically choking like build hazard. Different shapes.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, don't do it around Austin, but I built a little tiny mini synthesizer one time, and it took me forever, but it was super satisfying once it was done.
I tried, Keeks, I tried the world's most difficult jigsaw puzzle, which is double-sided. Yeah. So it's the same image printed on both sides, so you don't know if, like, the blue piece you have fits on that side or the other side.
I don't need the stress.
That sounds like
I don't need the stress.
I've been trying to, like, try different things so that I can...
Yeah, I'm doing them more for, like, to turn my brain off, not to challenge me. I don't want to be challenged right now.
Interesting. Well, the one, so, and this is a whole deep dive on puzzles, one that I really liked was this one. And it comes with, on the back.
That's cool.
It's, like, split into six sections, and on the back of the pieces, it'll say, like, A, B, C, D, E, F. So you can be like, okay, this is the A quadrant. So if you want to just do it, like, section at a time. I found a thing I wanted
to buy you that was like it's like a puzzle organizer.
The thing that like
it stacks, and you can be like, okay, because I know when I do it, I'm like, okay, this looks like these are all for like the Fenway one was like these ones are all fans, or like these are fans facing this way, so these are right side fans. These are, and you're making all these little piles, so it was like this thing you just put them into the little thing organizers you stack them, so you have them. And I was like, I should get that for Ashley.
But I like that. I've seen one where it's like a grippy felt, I think, kind of thing, where you can like roll it up and it'll like, and then you unroll it and it's all in the same spot.
Yeah.
So it's like a space saver essentially. Cause that's the problem is I don't have a lot of space.
Yeah. What do you do with them when you're done? You just break them down?
Yeah, but not the whole way. I'm too lazy. I'll like fold it as much as I can to just get it back into the box. So it's like, just like giant chunks of puzzle.
It's like a pizza. It's like a calzone of a puzzle.
Oh, I love that.
It's just,
it would just break my heart to break it down. It's still on my floor. Jay, do you have a random thing you're mad about?
I'm really mad at the random people trending on Twitter for no reason. It's been happening a lot recently.
I haven't really checked.
I feel like I've just seen
names
and I don't have any specific references, but I've just seen like names of people that are like on the right side. And if your name is on the right side of Twitter, like either you did something bad
or you're dead,
maybe really good, or you're dead.
Oh.
And
hey, quiet.
I don't like that. I don't like that. So stop making random stuff trend.
Hey. Sorry. So people are trending, also upset. She's upset about what you're upset about.
Yeah, Myrtle's pissed.
Hey. And it's not because they did something bad or good or they're dead.
It's because of nothing. Just like because I guess there's no news cycles. Mm. Like people are just like bringing up stuff from 5 years ago and being like, hey, let's all talk about Chris Evans. And then you're just like, you see Chris Evans, you're like, oh, fuck.
Oh, I thought you meant random people like, you know, Joe Schmo.
I'm talking about like celebrities.
Yeah,
like,
and it's just because people are debating like their
something that happened 4 years ago. And you're just like, stop it. Stop doing that.
You don't seem that mad.
I'm done. I mean, that's, you know, I'm okay, but like I said, I'm having a good week. Next week might be
different.
Yeah.
Hey, Myrtle, stop barking at everything.
All right.
I'm not mad about anything. Everything's so good. All right, so I think that's it for our updates, unless anybody had any others. We're going to get into the actual news and everything happening in all of the sports in a second. But first, today's podcast is also brought to you by Ashley's temper and tantrum. So, ABT. So, Ashley, tell me how you want me to tell the people about American tried and true.
Wow, that's beautiful. In honor of DJ Swagosaurus Rex, a.k.a. or FKA DJ Magic the Gathering, FKA one half of the Power Surgeons.
Nice.
Could you tell us about...
Well said.
Could you tell us about this company in the style of Carly Rae Jepsen's athletic ticks and talks?
Right.
in the style of Carly Rae Jepsen's Call Me Maybe, Please.
Oh, boy. I would love nothing more. Jay, you want me to do disco remix or can I just do the regular?
No, thank you.
Okay.
I think let's save the disco remix for the dance part.
Okay. Man, I think I remember how this song goes. People are really passionate about Carly Rae Jepsen, so I hope I don't
I saw some Carly Rae Jepsen news break before we started this podcast. I guess she just released some B-sides and people are into it.
Apparently her music's really good. This was just, this song was like not representative of her catalog.
The song is incredible. I don't know.
Does it start right there? It does, huh?
Yep.
All right, let me try that again.
It's also super catchy.
Hey guys, I know there's a lot going on right now in the world, and we're all shopping online. I just saw that AT&T started doing two really helpful things for those who want to buy a new phone or device online. I'm going way too fast. They're offering fast, free, no contact delivery and curbside pickup, so that online shopping's simple and safe as possible. On top of that, they have a flexible return policy, so you can shop at ease. So you can visit att.com to learn how to shop online from the safety of your home 24/7, and it's subject to change. Restrictions apply. Go to att.com right now, baby. Oh man, it's so sad there isn't more ad read for me to
you could just keep going with
it. No, yes. That's it. It's over. Aww. That's unfortunate. It's tough. Those albatross tricks and times, ad reads have just, they're so short.
They are.
And they have such short words.
Mm.
And I shoved too many into that first verse.
I really enjoyed it though.
I bet you did.
Man, we should have done a whole song.
Maybe next week I'll just write my own freestyle on what I think about American ticks and talks. My brain is broken. Okay. Sports. Not with a question mark, with an exclamation point. First, hockey's the breaking news. Jay, what happened?
So I'm just diving into it now. So
do you want me to do the other sports first while you do that?
No, it's cool. I just finished, but I just a caveat. I haven't had a chance to really digest. I think what we knew was that last week the executive board voted to restart the season, and that was almost unanimous. And that the NHL had to work with the NHLPA, which I believe still needs to happen. Today, Gary Bettman, the commissioner, spoke and basically stated what the phases would be for the plan to bring hockey back and also how the playoff format would work. So we're currently in phase one, which is the pause due to the pandemic. And then phase two, which would be non-contact skating for players in small groups at team facilities, would start as early as early June. So that could be,
was that next week?
You know, the next 10 yeah. days or so. Training camps to start no earlier than the first half of July. And then a 24-team playoff, including seeding games and play-in rounds, would still be determined. But those would take place in two hub cities, and they listed what cities those could be. There's like 10 of them, so I won't bore you with that. But it would be in two hub cities, I guess. And then each conference has a hub city. Each team would be limited to 50 personnel in the hub city, which is really small.
Yeah.
Wow. And the timings and sites would be determined at a future date. And so then there would be this 24-team playoff format based on the current standings. And that looks like kind of cool, actually, around Robin. So the top four teams are seeded, and then they sort of like will play against teams that make it through a qualifying round. The remaining eight teams play in a best-of-five series to advance to the first round. And so that would mean that, like, I guess there's 12 teams per side. Top four advance on a – by, I guess, eight teams would play a best-of-five qualifying round.
Well, it looks once like the top in, four teams play each other to seed themselves. So it's not like a bye. So I think to get their first-round seeding, they play each other.
That's not fair to the Bruins and the Blues,
right.
But okay. But, yeah, I guess.
And then the remaining eight teams play best-of-five series to advance. So it's like it's kind of a bye because they're not eliminated.
They're not eliminated, but I guess their seeding would be, wow, that's really frustrating for the teams that have, like, really great records, I imagine. But anyhow, then I guess it would be pretty typical standard format after that first and second round would be the seeding versus the bracket and the series length to be determined. So that means either a five or a seven. They've never done. I mean, they're going to do a best of five in the qualifying round. So I think first and second rounds are best of fives now. So,
yeah, it says series lengths to be determined, but it says that the qualifying round is best of five. And that it's the winners from the qualifying round will play the top four seeds in the first round. So it's the top four teams, and then those eight teams will narrow down to four in the qualifying round. So then you've got eight teams total.
Yep. And then they would play a conference finals and a best of seven Stanley Cup as usual.
Am I stupid? But it says top four teams and then remaining eight teams. That doesn't add up to 24.
Well, it's per division.
Per conference, I should say.
So that would... Those would happen on each side of conference.
I am stupid. And then, the answer.
No.
Yeah.
So as of now, the top four in the round robin would be the Bruins, the Lightning, the Caps, and the Flyers in the Eastern Conference, and the Blues, the Avalanche, the Golden Knights, and the Stars in the Western Conference.
Okay.
So
it sounds like that won't happen until July.
At the earliest, July is when it would start.
Well, the training camps can't start till July.
The training camps, but yeah, so I can't imagine that the actual hockey would be played before maybe August.
Or the second half of July. I don't know. But that's, all right, something, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, it's cool that they get to finish, or they're going to try to finish the season in any case, because so much of it had already been played, too, you know.
The NBA is talking about doing a Disney World.
I'm just
going to
mute myself.
Why?
Because you can hear Austin screaming.
Oh, but
I'll keep it on mute until I've got something.
But this is big for you. It's Disney World.
Yeah, I do love Disney World.
So the NBA and the NBPA is engaged in discussing whether they can restart the season, not restart, but, you know, start it back up in late July at Wild World of Sports, which is where we were for the Pro Bowl.
Yeah, crazy.
And they'd make it a single site for all games, all practices, and all housing. Woj said on Friday that the NBA has a Board of Governors call set for next Friday, so in a couple days, which is expected to provide additional details on timetable and their plans. So probably what we got today with the NHL we'd be likely getting, maybe with a little bit more detail. Mm-hmm. And they think that they're going to start recalling players to their markets around June 1st. So that's, you know, next week, a little bit over a week. Barring any unforeseen turn of events, NBA owners, executives, and NBPA elders, very fancy, think that Commissioner Silver will greenlight the return to play in June. Games should start sometime before the end of July. And Wendy said on Monday, I really think there's a good chance this is only going to be a 16-team playoff. If that's the case, it opens the possibility for something that Adam Silver has long wanted, which is to seed 1 through 16 in the postseason and go that route. So there's no excuse with travel or anything like that. That would be pretty interesting, especially considering we didn't get a bracket for the tournament this year, and this would kind of be bracketesque. And as we all know, if there's anything people like to argue about with brackets, it's that seeding.
Sure is.
It's the one part that isn't as consequential as the rest.
Go ahead, one of the issues that came up today was the 70-game threshold that the league is trying to hit. So they have, like, deals with, like, the regional TV markets or whatever, where they have to, like, air 70 games so that they get their contract money or whatever. And so the discussion is that they want to hit at least 70 regular season games before they go to the playoffs. And Damian Lillard was like, if we come back to play four more games that are just to, like,
hit
this whatever.
Yeah.
Right. And that means that, like, essentially the Blazers, who are three games out, they're, like, currently the ninth seed and they're three games behind the Grizzlies, I think. If, like, we don't have a chance to make the playoffs, like, I'll go be with my team because I'm a team player, but I'm not playing.
Yeah, but then you're not a team player.
Well, no, I think you are. I mean, in his defense, it's like, this is essentially you've been off for so long, getting your body back.
Totally.
To, like,
I see what he's saying.
Injury,
his side.
Like, whatever. And if there's no chance to make the playoffs, like, why would you? Well, why would you go through the risk for that?
It does kind of ignore the fact that they're able to have these big contracts because of those TV deals. Like, the money, that money isn't just so the league can get their money. Like, that's the money.
So I think Dame's point is, like, play more than four games.
Yeah.
Don't just do it to get, like, whatever. Like, give people who are in the bubble a real chance to, like, get in. Because if I don't have a chance to get, I'm not playing.
Yeah, because those are four opportunities to hurt yourself and miss out, you know, in future seasons. It's the thing that we're going to run into with a lot of these leagues, which is, like, the desire for sports to come back versus the risk that it is for the athletes who have to play it. And it's,
yeah. I also wonder if they could use those, like, however many games you said that they needed to do and set them up as play-in games as opposed to, like, strictly playoff games, and that would satisfy their
maybe requirement. I think they're going to have to, like, they're going to have to get as buttoned up as the NHL seems to be with what they're doing.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like games at the end of the season. I think a lot of guys sit out. But then you wonder if that's going to come in conflict with the rules they have against, like, benching your starters. Because the NBA is, like, you know, big on that. So
I just think there's more. There's even more of a risk of injury when you've been off for so long.
Yeah. Especially if you don't have a hoop at your house.
That's right.
Which is crazy. But, I mean, if it's all at Disney, like, let's call our bosses and make sure we get rooms. Let's go live in basketball world.
That'd be so cool.
Basketball Island. I mean, I know we all laughed at Fight Island for UFC, but like this is Disney World basketball. It's kind of sick.
I don't know that there would be too much room for fans.
Yeah.
There,
well, we're not just fans.
That's true.
We're essential personnel.
We're essential.
Industry.
Somebody must cover it, and we can't risk Doris. We already put her out there and risked her too much.
We're one of the NBA's premier podcasts. We cover that league so well and so thoroughly.
At length. In depth. In depth.
That's true. That's a good point.
So we did basketball and hockey, baseball. I think today they approved a plan. The owners approved a plan that they're going to send to the Players Association. Which will open negotiations on the key economic issues for the season to start by the weekend of July 4th. The plan does not include the same 50-50 revenue sharing split that the owners agreed on 2 weeks ago that was never submitted to the union. So we've talked about this at length as a baseball podcast, but at the beginning of all this, there was like an agreement that both sides agreed to, and then the owners, as it progressed, the owners like snuck in this thing about like, oh, it's 50-50 revenue share. And the players were like, whoa, that's not what we agreed to. And then the owners were getting mad that the players wouldn't agree to it because we just want our sports to come back. When really it was the owners were trying to get one over on the players. And so now they took that out and now they're submitting this back to the players.
So I'm sure there's more analysis on this already because this was just before we started the podcast, but Players Association will take it. And then I'm sure we'll hear whether it's a better plan for the players to have a little bit more financial incentive.
Yeah. But so the date for baseball, they're hoping it'll start by 4th of July weekend. The date for basketball was what? July? June?
Yeah. Late July.
June 1st is when they'll start having players come back, and then late July for the games. The date for hockey was probably there'll be training camps first half of July. So just to recap dates. And then football is still on schedule. mini camps.
Mission accomplished.
Yeah, right? Football's just like, we weren't supposed to start yet. And that's going to catch up to them, I swear. But mini camps, including players, could be scheduled as early as June 15th or as late as June 27th, depending on, you know, COVID-19 data and whether a handful of franchises get a go-ahead signal from state governments, because that's the other thing. It's like a lot of this was left up to individual states. And so your team might be based in a state that's choosing to do it this way. Whereas this state, I saw today that New Jersey is like, sports are good. Go ahead. Which I was like, okay. What? So there's that. Resuming full operations and getting a mini camp scheduled would represent the league's biggest step to date toward keeping the season on track. J.C. Treader, the president of the NFLPA, who's also a center on the Cleveland Browns, said the union would need to agree to any plan. Today he tweeted, players, our union has not agreed to any reopening plan. Any reports about coming back to work are hypothetical, which I'm sure is making the NFL freak out. You'll hear from the NFLPA when there are new developments. I saw today Stephen Ross, owner of the Dolphins, was like, yeah, we'll be back with fans. The season's going to go on as usual.
That's a bold strategy,
which is like, I'm sorry, what? Even if you think, it just sounded like football's like, yeah, we'll wait till everyone else is done because their seasons were already supposed to have started, but we're not supposed to start till later, so we're going to be fine, which seems incorrect to me.
Yeah.
It seems incorrect to think that you're going to be back totally normal and with fans. I know I'm no expert, but that seems Again, incorrect.
Maybe he was just talking specifically about Miami.
Maybe.
You know what I mean?
Maybe.
He's just like, you know, there's no, the rules down here different than everywhere else.
Stephen Ross just thinks a second wave is something you surf. I don't think he's
paying much attention. Fans at Dolphin Stadium, is it still Dolphin Stadium? Or socially distanced anyway? Because they're so sparse. It's like, right? It's not a problem.
And then I guess also soccer is back-ish. Bundesliga resumed. Jay, how do you feel about the fake crowd noise?
I'm not a big fan of it, to be honest with you. And I've seen a lot of people who are kind of getting into it.
I like it.
I think that it's, I like the music, but I don't want to hear like fake cheering because that just seems not real. But if you have like a really great soundtrack that you want to play after somebody scores a goal,
are you trying to petition
like that,
yourself as the DJ of Bundesliga?
What I'm saying, Bundesliga, is I'm
do you want your gathering to be magic? Call me. I'm on the fence. Remember a couple years ago, I want to say it was FS1, they experimented with like having the booth be remote and like you'd call a game from not the game and people were like, you wouldn't even be able to tell, and you could absolutely tell. Like, this is one of those, like, if you don't know, it might not, I think it makes it feel a little bit more like what we're used to and a little bit less creepy. But at the same time, once you're aware of it, you're like, oh, it's creepy now. Like, you hear the same sound kind of repeated, and you're like, no, they're looping a track. I don't like it. Like, it's...
Yeah.
You really have to suspend disbelief.
The other thing I think is that, like, as this continues, especially without fans, like, I think that, like, we're used to certain camera angles because of where the cameras had to be for the stadium. Mm. But now there's actually a really cool opportunity to move some of the cameras into places that we wouldn't have seen them before and, like, create views without fans because... Like, there's nobody there in the front row anymore, so, like, bring a camera down there and, like, give me, like, you know, player shots, like, a lot closer than I've ever seen them before, what have you. That could be a cool way to try to get around the fact that we're not seeing the fans there.
Mm. La Liga is coming back June 12th, and that'll be an exciting one when it comes back, right? Because Barcelona has a two-point advantage over Real Madrid, and then there's...
It's super tight.
And there's, like, 5 points separating the next five places.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that whole league is pretty tight. So that'll be fun when that comes back. That's June 12th for everybody listening to the podcast, adding all of these to their calendar. Premier League was supposed to come back. June 12th was their target, but they're more than likely going to miss that. They're going to probably push for a Friday date later in the month to restart the season. They're having a bunch of meetings this week to determine time frame for a return. They have... contact training, they're like bringing that back, but they have plans for it. It does seem like the season's going to come back. There was a point there where I was like, it's not going to come back. They're not going to agree. But now it seems like it is going to come back.
I think it's going to come back. I mean, there's been a bunch of players who have said that they won't come back. I know specifically N'Golo Kanté for Chelsea like has had health issues in the past and was just like, not going to do it, not willing to risk it. And, like, the teams have been really supportive of players who have said that, which I think is really cool.
Thank God.
But, like, for the other guys who want to come back and want to go to training, like, there's been a lot of people started to return to non-contact training. I guess they're starting contact training soon. So we'll get to see Liverpool win the title.
And then the biggest news, of course, the ESPYs will be hosted remotely. By Russell Wilson, Megan Rapinoe, and Sue Bird.
Woo-woo!
On June 21st. Normally, it's funny because normally the ESPYs happen on the day where there's no sports. And now,
like the day that they all come back.
I don't know. So June 21st, three hosts. I don't know how that's going to work because Megan Rapinoe and Sue Bird are quarantined together.
Well, Russell Wilson's in Seattle too, so... They may.
I don't think that's where they are. Last I checked, they were in Connecticut.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point.
So, I mean, maybe they go back. I don't know.
Mm.
But first time with three hosts. They're not giving out the regular awards, so I'm sure the internet will have plenty to say about that. Can't wait for the discourse. Stay tuned. June 21st. You know, they asked me to host, and I was like, I just don't. It doesn't feel right. Let Russell do it, you know?
Yeah. He needs a win.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you want to go look it up, there's a picture of
Russ and Sierra and Megan and Sue Bird from last year's ESPYs that I just stared at for like 30 minutes today.
Oh, Sierra looked incredible.
They all look, you're just like, this is the amount of.
Yeah, it's a lot of, a lot of power.
It's just nice to look at.
A lot of power.
Go look it up.
And then, you know, one sport that happened, the match.
Oh, oh my God. Yeah.
The most watched golf event in cable history.
This is insane. Wow.
I watched a little bit of it. I don't know. I've said this before. It's a weird thing about me, but it like watching enough of it would have just made me sad. My FOMO works reverse than most people. Everyone's like, if I don't watch this, everyone's watching it. And I was like, I'm not ready to participate fully. It's golf. I don't care as much about it. It's Tom Brady. I'm a little upset. So I was like, I'm not gonna watch all of it. I did see him split his pants.
You got the
you got to see it live? That's amazing.
And I saw live, the part that I watched was when Chuck was like talking smack to Brady, being like, you're going to be good. Yeah. And then he birdied a hole. Like he sank the next shot.
From like the fairway.
Yeah. Which was pretty.
But he was all over the place just before that.
Yeah. He wasn't very good. But it was fun to watch they added something to it. Because I watched the full match last year and was like, oh my God. I didn't like
yeah.
it. But this year was fun. Peyton was funny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know.
There was a lot of cool, crazy, like, there was a lot of cool, like, in-game challenges that they did this year that they didn't do with the Tiger.
They raised an insane amount of money.
It was $20 million. Yeah.
I was like, there's no way this is real. That's, I mean, that's just skeptic Katie. But I'm like, watching the it go off, I'm like, what? Just,
the big check that just said COVID-19 relief with $20 million. Yeah. That's,
I was like, somebody should legally change their name to that, cash that check. I think
have a big check or else it doesn't count.
To go back to Peyton for a sec, I think I was surprised because when we've seen him be funny, it's been in scripted situations. Mm. And you're like, oh, he delivers these lines really well, but I don't think I realized that he was so good like off the cuff.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, you're actually a funny dude. Okay.
Yeah.
I buy this.
Also, it's like the funniest person in a group of people that aren't really that
great
funny.
Great point.
But taking nothing away from him, Peyton is funny.
Yeah.
So that was as fun as golf can be. That's true. I mean, nothing against people who love to watch golf. I know people who are obsessed with golf that are still like, yeah, I can't watch, you know, that much golf. It's not the most thrilling thing to watch, even when you're super into it. But yeah, it was fun. And that's sports. Those have been sports. Famously, we go deep on sports.
Yeah.
And now before we get to our last voicemail, Jay, I missed this last week because I was feeding Myrtle, but I know you kind of got one in. But let's do it formally this week. Let's head over to Jay Wolf for our news français of the week. De la semaine.
Bonsoir.
Bonsoir. Bonsoir. Hi.
Bonsoir. Bonsoir.
Hello.
I'm Jay Wolf. I give this news because mostly it is important for all of my French friends out there to hear.
Oh, God.
The French dairy industry is having a tough time, as we say, my friends. And you must go out and you must buy a lot of cheese because there's a big stockpile of cheese. So the dairy industry has they write a letter in the newspaper, Le Monde, and they say, please buy the cheese because we have too much cheese and no one has been eating enough cheese. So it's crazy to me because we knew, you know, we were in France, we love cheese, but you have to buy the cheese in France. More than 60% of cheese sales down.
Wow.
In France.
Sacré bleu.
So that's sacré bleu, exactly. Well said, Ashley. Also, you know, an additional news around the region. In Belgium, the potato industry is down $130 million, which is about, in euro, it's like 100 million euro.
Okay.
And so they need to eat more fries in Belgium. And
fries,
in Canada,
cheese, okay.
Potatoes and cheese, no one eating. So poutine, you should be eating poutine.
Okay.
So everybody needs to go back to eating more dairy-based food.
Okay.
And potato.
Okay, thanks.
That's the French news of the week.
Au revoir.
Au revoir. Okay, bonne nuit. Bye-bye. Ciao.
Okay, all right. It's the way you immediately, like, you do the uhs. I am Jay Wolf. It's just, ugh. I love it. Do we have time for more voicemail?
Yeah. Okay.
Hey, Katie, Ashley, and Jay. My name is Jordan. I'm from North Idaho. My question is, did you have a hard time leaving your first job? I'm currently 21. I've spent 5 years at the same job, and it's kind of rough for me to leave it. So, thanks. Love you, mean it. Bye.
Hi, Jordan. Thank you for your question. For everyone who didn't hear, it's Jordan from North Idaho. It's very it's like specific, but very not super specific. It's like, you didn't say where, but it's the north part. I wonder if they have like a passionate rivalry with South Idaho that I don't know anything about.
I hope so.
I'll investigate later when I need a wormhole to go down. But Jordan asked if we have a hard time leaving our first job. You couldn't possibly mean like first time
you got paid for something.
Job. Yeah, right? He must mean like first occupation?
Like camp cat, like not summer job, like first right. full-time job?
Well, I mean...
Well, I want to know what your guys' first job was. Like first time you got a paycheck job.
I was a dance teacher at my dance studio.
I was in ticket sales at Penn.
Jay?
Oh. Oh, I was a bag boy at a grocery store.
Yeah, like that. I don't think anyone has a hard time leaving that. But yeah. Maybe I'm wrong because he's 21. He's been 5 years at his job. So that means he was 16.
Yeah, yes. That's the right math. Nailed
it. So that, I mean.
Yeah, I mean, maybe, but like maybe it was like a.
I can picture it if it's a restaurant job.
That he grew into, yeah. Like a, yeah.
Because a restaurant job is hard to leave because you walk out that door with cash. And usually there's like camaraderie with the staff and stuff. I know people who were like, when I was bartending, were like, oh, I've been here for 10 years. And you're like, well, they didn't leave. You know? But I don't think I've had a tough time. I think we'd have to know more about the job. Right? Because I think it really depends on what the gig is. Like, have you been working with the same people for 5 years? That's tough to leave for sure. Just like leaving like a group of friends would be tough because you say you're going to keep in touch, but you know you're going to not keep in as much touch at least. And if you like the people, whereas if you hate the people, you're like, peace out. Fuck you, you're cool, fuck you, I'm out.
Yeah.
I've had a really hard time. I haven't left. I'm still in my first full-time job.
Oh, at ESPN. That's right.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it's my first. Well, like, I worked for the Eagles, but I was an intern.
Yeah.
So that doesn't really count. And then this was my first full-time job since I graduated college, and I'm still here.
I think when I graduated college, I did a bunch of, like, full-time jobs that weren't real. They were just, like, they weren't what I wanted to do. They were just jobs that I had. Like, leaving Equinox was very easy. I got out. But, and then all the other jobs I've had since then are, like, I don't really get to decide when I leave, really. Some very contract-based.
Yeah.
And they're hard, but probably for different reasons. But I think it's, like, not a weird thing to have a hard time leaving a job. That means you like it.
Yeah. It's also scary.
It's also the weird thing about, like, our parents' generation. It was like, if you were 30 years at the same company, it was like a badge of honor. And now it's like, 30 years at the same company, you've missed out on a lot of raises. If you left and went somewhere else, you could move up, and then you move back, and then you know what I mean?
Tell me about it.
Yeah. But, like, of course it's rough. It should be rough. But the good thing is that means you love what you do, or you love those people. And you should think about, Jordan, what it is you're going to miss that much about that job and try to hopefully find a job that has those same things in it. You know? Because sometimes I forget, like, I get upset about leaving something and then I go get something else and I forget to have learned from that experience. You know? Where it's like, oh, who I work with does matter to me. So I shouldn't go work somewhere and be like, I'll get over that. Like, learn from what was a bummer about leaving this job when you're looking for your next job.
I think with a new job, whether it's a good job or a bad job, you can learn from it either way.
Yeah.
Same with a relationship. Totally. It's either like, here's something I like and I know that I definitely want going forward. Here's something I do not like and I never want to deal with again. So if you approach it as like an opportunity to just get smarter and figure out more about yourself and what you're looking for, it's a little less scary.
Yeah. That's good advice.
Thanks. From the one who still has her first job.
Well, you've done different jobs within the same company.
Within the job, yeah. God, my career path within ESPN is insane.
It's crazy. You're a loyal lady. Just like Myrtle.
It's that free entrance to Disney World, man. Can't replace it.
Can't turn it down. Once you had the kid, it's like, well, what, I'm going to leave now? I'm not going to leave now.
Yeah, right? No, no way.
No way.
All right, guys, that's it for this week's edition of Sports. Shout out to State Farm and Austin's T-shirts and toiletries. AT&T. And shout out to ESPN Daily with Mina Kimes, our favorite. You can get a dose of Mina Kimes every day with the most up-to-date sports news, stories, and deep dives. You know, they're pretty sports-related. Not as sportsy as this podcast, but they do try. They try.
Yeah. And it's good to call those people out, too. Yeah. You know, make sure that they feel like they're being supported.
Right. And she tells you what day it is, which I find to be very valuable. So go get that wherever you listen to podcasts. And a big thanks to you guys for listening now. And then, you know, this is a long one, so maybe just one other time. Yeah. Or you could just leave us a nice review wherever you listen to this podcast. In times like these, in these trying times, in this difficult time. That's really helpful because we read them and we love them. Like this one from AZD1994 that says, absolutely love this podcast. I listen to it every day and recently decided to go back and listen from the beginning because I'm good at making decisions. Every episode is amazing, but I'm always more excited when the episode is some kind of bracket and exceeds 2 hours. Che, did you write this?
I did not.
I have noticed that's people real. Love when these are long and they get upset when it's like my dog that makes them shorter, but it's like also I'm in the main room of my house and I cannot do these for 4 hours because Dan was trying to put groceries away and I got mad because I'm doing a podcast and that's not fair because groceries need to be put away. Anyway, lastly, don't forget that you can always leave a voicemail at 860-506-5571. Say goodbye, Ashley.
Bye.
Say goodbye, Jay.
Bye.
Say goodbye, Myrtle. She thought it. Bye. Love you. Mean it.
SimpliSafe Home Security is like getting commercial-grade enterprise-level security, but for your own home. Think about the security Fortune 500 companies use. They need to know police are going to be on the scene immediately. This is exactly the kind of security you get with SimpliSafe. If there's a break-in, SimpliSafe uses real video evidence to give police an eyewitness account of the crime. And that means police dispatch up to 350% faster than for a normal burglar alarm. With SimpliSafe, you get comprehensive protection for your home. Outdoor cameras and doorbells alert you to anyone approaching your home. Entry, motion, and glass break sensors guard inside. Plus, SimpliSafe protects your home from fires, water damage, and carbon monoxide poisoning. It's all monitored 24/7 by live security professionals. You can set up your system yourself with no tools needed, or SimpliSafe's experts can do it for you. And it's only 50 cents a day with no contracts. Go to simplisafe.com/Nolan today to get free shipping on your order, plus a 60-day money-back guarantee. That's simplisafe.com/Nolan to save on home security today. Simplisafe.com/Nolan.